You're listening to Vanguard News Network Broadcasting. This is Free Talk Live. And now, I do believe I will bring in Mr. Alex Linder.
Hello?
Mr. Linder.
Yes.
Welcome to Free Talk Live.
Are you there, Stan?
Network. Yes, I'm here. Are you hearing me? Do you hear me? Hello? Can't hear me. Okay. We seem to run into this problem from time to time. I will give him a call back and see what happens.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hey,
hey.
Stan, are we all here?
There you are. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good. We have.
What are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about anything and everything.
We got anyone else on the line?
We have no one else on the line as yet. We have some people calling in.
Okay.
I was just waiting to get you on here.
Okay.
So that maybe you can lay the groundwork for the rest of the evening.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank technical people and Stan. Of course, you're one of those people who helped get us back up. In our time of need, yeah. The angels were there. But,
you're welcome. Thank you.
I'd like to say, I'd like to give a shout out to our dictatorship in Washington. Why don't we take out the clowns in Canada, Cuba, and Mexico if we're going to be having to go around the world messing with other people's business? Because we're getting a little tired of it here. And you see that today Castro's had some internal bleeding, and they've sewn him up, and he's in stable condition right now. He turned over power to his brother, so all the Cubans down in Miami are getting real excited.
Right.
But we were down because apparently Canada, and I don't know the full facts of the matter, and I'm not sure they will completely come out, but somehow the T1 supplier to Cable Bay was shut down based on things originating in Canada complaining about what I said, and the Canadian papers ran a bunch of stories claiming that I made a death threat, which wasn't true, but the Canadian media is as Jew-controlled and irresponsible as it is here in the States. You really can't believe one word that you read in it. No police have contacted me. I'm doing just great. And like I told the reporter, I don't know if she ever ran a story. I didn't pay attention to who she was with, but said, you know, we're not going to allow any combination of Jews, homosexuals, or lackeys to decide what we can say here in the U.S. And so we don't give in to Jewish pressure. It's that simple. And what we do is on this show and on the front page is legal. We use the First Amendment. And in Canada, they don't understand that. And a large segment of America doesn't understand that either, because they've been fox-trained to believe that patriotardism is the same thing as free speech. But it isn't. We're the real alternative. And we're the good guys. And Stan, I think we should take some calls before too long.
Okay.
But, it takes me a little time to warm up, and right now I'm still thinking of other things. But we're still working on bringing the forum back up.
I would like to say right here at this point that checking the Shoutcast numbers, we have 56 listeners right now.
Great.
Which is a fantastic number.
It's a good number of people. I'm glad you all are listening in.
Yep. And we have one insistent caller, so as soon as he calls back, I will pull him right in.
Okay. Yeah, we welcome your calling in, and we'll tell you what we know. And what I want to say is that it's not a game, and I think that there need to be at least a few changes on BNN to reflect that. And that's going to be manifest in the forum, and we're going to push it more towards activism. Now, we have very good reason to believe that Dick Warman, who is referred to in the papers as an Ottawa lawyer who seems to be some sort of cat's paw for the different Jewish groups, and you know, you got these federal judges, you got the Star Chamber, civil rights, human rights, various commissions of legal or quasi-legal status, and they're throwing people in jail because they say things that maybe some Jew or one of the niggers they let in doesn't like. Very confusing. I'm a big picture guy. I don't really care about those details. What I see is they're putting people in jail for describing what's going on in the country. Okay, now I have the legal freedom that I can speak out about that, and I can facilitate others speaking out. And that's what we do with VNN Forum. Well, Dickie Warman saw fit to get onto our forum under an alias and kind of bait and lead on, entice and trap. You know how those people are. They like to do that kind of thing. Fucking and they're right. Trying to suck Winicky into making comments. Well, Winicky's in jail right now. And theater fan Warman is preening over this. He's very happy. He stopped hate. Now, he's been called a Jew. Overthrow has called him a Jew, and other people have called him a Jew. Like I say, I take accusations of Judaism as seriously as accusations of rape. Warman says he's a WASP. I don't know what the truth is. I've seen a photo of him. He doesn't look particularly Jewish, but that's not an absolute guide. But I'm perfectly willing to believe he's a WASP believer in true liberalism and thinks he's doing the right thing. But doesn't matter. We're not going away. And in fact, there are different lawsuits that could be filed. And we reserve all possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are after all, these are foreigners who are interfering with VNN's legitimate business. Now, what we need, though, are to pursue lawsuits, we need money.
Alex, you still there? Hello? Oh. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, the Skype program has locked up. I am going to have to restart it. Shoot. Darn. Let me do that. We're going to have a few technical difficulties here. Just bear with us. I have completely lost Alex. He is down for the count. We'll get him back as soon as possible. I'm going to roll some music and we'll be back shortly with Alex and other callers.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man. To be the bad man. Behind blue eyes, no one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, standing on the light. But my dreams, they are as empty as my kind. No one bites back as hard. Oh, they one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind the wife.
Okay, so I'm still waiting for Alex to return. I don't know what's happening on his end. He's completely wiped out. Some sort of internet surfing accident. I blame Canada. Thank you, Baby Cakes. I blame Canada. Darn. He was right in the middle of the good part, too. Letting us all know what exactly the plan is. We have 64 listeners now. That is a record. 64 listeners. Alright, I'm going to bring in... wait a minute. We have a telephone call here. Let's find out who this is.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, it's Theseus.
Hey, how you doing? You're on VNNB.
Hi, Stan. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. We just kind of lost Alex in a surfing accident here.
A surfing accident?
Yeah, with Skype. He got blown off.
I see. Yeah. Surfing accidents take on a whole different tone here on the island out in Central Florida.
Right.
I'd like to mention something. Am I on air right now?
Yes, you are on the air.
Oh, cool. Cool. What's up, everybody? I'd like to mention something that I saw in Wynet, something that I've been seeing. I've actually been working hard getting my dissertation started, so I haven't been able to send this out to many people, but the headline is Study: Economic Concerns to Trigger Anti-Semitism in U.S., Germany. These super reliable, cutting-edge trend researchers, and I know this because I kind of work on around that, are predicting surprisingly violent. Let me read something. Our results strongly suggest that this will provide the emotional trigger for the scapegoating of Jews toward whom feelings in our sample were unexpectedly negative and often violent. It's a big deal. I've been doing predictive analysis for a few years now. I discovered Goy Fire when I was doing my own, and I started to see this wave of what we would call anti-Semitism in the numbers, and I began investigating it to find out what it was all about. And it's a real thing, and as Alex says, it's coming.
Yes, it is.
It's coming. But I'll hang up and have a listen.
Well, thank you very much.
Good work. Glad to see y'all back. Can't wait till the forum gets back up.
Yeah,
keep kicking ass.
That should be very soon, from what I understand. So we look forward to seeing you, and please post that when you get a chance.
Right. And fuck the Jews.
Definitely.
Right on.
All right, have a great evening.
You too, Stan.
All right, take care.
You too.
That was Theseus calling in from the lower 48. And we're going to bring in... Jeff now, Mr. Beck, see what he has to say about some things. I'm ringing him up, and I'm getting a busy message.
Hello, the person you're trying to reach is not here at the moment. Please leave your message.
Okay. Hi, everything's working great tonight. Okay, let's try him again. I am again. Let's see what happens. Hello.
Okay, hello.
Hey, there you are. How you doing?
Look, fine. Hi, Stan. Look, I've had... Is Alex back?
No, he's not
okay,
back.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. He didn't sound too well, to be honest with you. But anyway, the cedar fever around the Midwest is just awful. Anyway, I wanted to say, because I've been on the same conversations with the folks at Cable Bay as the folks at Cable Bay, and so I would like to mention a couple things that I remember. One of them is that the telecom, the well-known telecom, AT&T, I think was the name of the company, they literally just pulled the plug, and there was no warning from anybody. And I think you were on the server that day, too.
Yes, I was.
And they literally pulled the plug, and Cable Bay, according to the people I talked to, they never even received a call. And then once they started inquiring at the company to find out what went on, no one knew there. No one knew at the company, the telecom company, why their dedicated line was cut, was terminated. And then it was only some time later that he found out. The Cable Bay people found out, and that was by an unofficial comment from one of the customer care people, and saying that they had violated, that VNN had violated some sort of fair use policy, and then we are only left to guess that it was the comments that appeared in the Canadian paper that were responsible for this. We as in VNN, we don't even know why. And then the folks over at Cable Bay, they don't even know why.
Right.
And the guy over at Cable Bay, told me that he's got 29 other customers besides the VNN.
Right.
And so all those people got dumped along with him.
Yep.
And so can you imagine this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine, but it's happened.
To this day, they've never been told why. And the only information they have, according, I spoke with them a couple days ago. Maybe something has changed, but the only information that they have is information they have is what you have, which is in the Canadian papers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I read their. Their terms of, terms of use, and they have a very vague.
Hey guys,
you know,
you there, guys?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. Jeff, could you rerun over what you just said? I was getting back
okay.
online. I had some.
It was good to have you back, Alex. What I told Stan was is that we were on some conference calls, you and I, with the Cable Bay people, and they don't even know why they were cut off, and for sure they've never spoken with anyone at the telecom. They've asked us not to say the name of the telecom. I think I already mentioned it was AT&T, but they don't even know why. They've never been told officially by anyone why they were cut off. Other than unofficially, someone at customer care told them that VNN had violated the acceptable use policy in some way, but they didn't even say what that was. And they were told under the table, you better get your stuff off because you're not going to have it turned back on. And so to this day, as far as I know, the last time we spoke with them on that conference call, that they've never even found out, they've never even gotten a letter or anything from the telecom company as to why they were turned off. And do you remember they also spoke with the lawyer too, the Cable Bay people? Do you remember what they said, Alex?
The bottom line here is this is pretty much par for the course in terms mm-hmm. of when VNN started, it was a small but daily, and my partner, Reg Belzer, put it up on an HTML page, just a simple static HTML page. And from there, it's grown over the last 6 years and taken a couple different forms and appearance, but it's gone from a page to a bigger page, to a server, to having the physical servers in the possession of people we knew wouldn't take it off our content. Let's put it that way.
That's Cable Bay.
Yeah, that's Cable Bay. Now this is the essentially, as I've said, I don't mean to be repetitive, but I'm trying to get at what I think is a distinction here, is the phone company cutting off the line because they don't like the content of the call. Please don't take that literally. Okay. What I mean is the phone company doesn't care what you call. Either you have phone service or you don't. They're cutting off the phone service we use to communicate with you listening to this because they don't like the content because some Jew slash lackey slash government dictator in a foreign country is complaining about it. That's how far gone. And the point is these are very large companies. Cable Bay isn't, but the people ultimately that are supplying the T1 are big companies, and if they're going to restrict content, then essentially there is no freedom of speech on the internet unless you own the whole darn thing.
And apparently, unless you're willing to spend a lot of money to hire a lawyer, you can't even be told why you were thrown off.
Yeah, this is typical. They either they say nothing or they say that you offended their terms of service, and they don't want to talk any specifics at all. And it's happened time after time after time. And
well, and that call we were on, they mentioned Cable Bay contact mentioned that they had talked to a lawyer about this, and they mentioned that there were two ways of going about it. One of them was to send them a letter and tell them a threatening letter from a lawyer and tell them that their breach of contract. And then, hopefully they'll, restore some sort of service. And the other one was to go after them on the on how they enforce their terms of service. That is, this particular company has things about these sort of boilerplate language about, hate and racism and things like that. And exactly how have they enforced that before? And do they force that against, their other clients? Do they do this against the black nationalist sites or anything like that?
I mean, any kind of pornography, any politics but white is perfectly legitimate. If we were La Raza running a site, they wouldn't take it down. If we were running a pedophile site, they wouldn't take it down. And they might if it were really extreme. But basically, they don't care about sex. They don't care about anything unless it's something that falls against the Jews who can do them economic damage. And if you want to fight back, you're going to... Cable Bay could complain, but apparently does not want to. And the complaint would take the form of, look, you're interfering with my legitimate business. Even if you want to get rid of this one site, you can't simply cut off the business to the other customers that I have. You're leaving me open to lawsuit, and you're exposing me to monetary damage, and that certainly could be pursued, and that would be the indicated point to do it.
Well, the bottom line is...
If they're disposed to do that. If they're not, then there's not much we can do except find other servers.
The bottom line, as you mentioned earlier, Alex, with Cable Bay, is they don't have the money to retain lawyers. And,
well, that's the thing. Yeah. If they're newly started and they have... a few dozen customers or whatever, and BNN's one of them, and maybe one of the larger ones, and maybe the amount of business lost is about what it would cost to hire a lawyer to make the first initial foray, then it might not be worth it. It just depends.
Mm-hmm.
But where we need to get to here, and you see, just as they are with Hezbollah and anyone else who fights them, they're forcing us to get better, and what that means now is you need to have someone... What you need to do is get multiple people who own their own homes outright and are as financially secure as they can be, who know how to work computers or who have people who can work them remotely, get T1 lines put in, or at least enough bandwidth to handle whatever you need to do, and have a lawyer perhaps draft a contract that specifies you are allowed to do certain things on your website so that you have a better basis for suing them. Should it come up, because they tend to cave in to very little pressure from the Jews, which makes, people say, the Jews don't control things. Yeah, well, try criticizing them. That's why you never read. You can watch Fox News for 24 hours on end, and you'll never see any Jew ever accused of being a hater. I don't care where you go. There's this word. Don't you people ever find it strange that there's a word for people who supposedly hate Jews, but there's no word for Jews who hate other people?
Yeah.
I mean, the
Wait
Jews
a minute.
Are free
that's
of hatred.
Foxism.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's laxism.
That's
laxism. That's
the word.
That's the word we have popularized.
And I've said that's the goal number one for white nationalists. When things exist, but no one... It's one thing for things to exist, but no one feels they can talk about them. Well, often that's just a matter of their being canny Sammy Francis's, just cowards. They're afraid to talk about it, and they can. But when you have phenomena for which there's not even a damn name, or for which the name is unknown, you have to bring it to a head in a verbal formulation, okay? Because most people are idiots, like the people who watch Fox News, among which apparently I'm to be classed myself these past couple of weeks. But these people, reality to them is primarily word manipulation, which the Jews are expert at, have that being basically their tradition, is lying and splitting hairs for the last 1,500 years, since they came up with their Midrash and their Talmud and the Torah and what have you. The point is, if you're opposed to Israel, you're a terrorist. Well, what's the word for Jewish hatred of all of the rest of mankind? It's Loxism.
Yep.
You know? Well, what's lie? If you can't withstand the being laughed at for using a word that describes a very real reality that is never discussed except on our site, then you're just too damn weak to participate in this.
Now, how do you spell that word, Alex?
L-O-X-I-S-T. Deliberate mirror to racism. Two
Loxist.
Syllables,
yeah.
Blunt.
Yep.
It's coined, but I believe it has a... I coined it, but I kind of refashioned it from some stuff I knew in the little Latin I know from stuff I read in Tacitus, who criticized it, who called the Jews the common enemy of all mankind. And as I've said before, Voltaire said, I wouldn't be surprised one day this people grows dangerous to the entire rest of the world, and that's exactly what they're in. You know, we got them out killing people, murdering them just almost at random in Lebanon, and... You know, all these clowns who call themselves the United States, they're all for it. They love it. They love seeing people killed in the name of Israel, and that's how they feel about others. We posted on our site, you know, the link to the rabbi saying, hey, there are no non-combatants. You have the right to kill whoever you want. You know, and you don't even need to make any kind of an argument about it. If we say they're threatening us and we kill them, it's perfectly justified. That's how they feel about you. And so my point is, what we need to do here technically is establish multiple independent servers and put things on different servers and just the idea of a network being stronger than an individual thread, which can simply be snipped pretty easily. If some homo from Canada can call up and get them to cut it, then the next either there essentially is no protection.
Well, just think about this, Alex.
And
this,
what I said was perfectly legal. When a fucking foreigner can come into my country and say, you can't say this on your website, no one said to me I couldn't say it. I didn't say anything illegal. I know what it's legal to say and what it isn't to say. What I said was legal. No cop has talked to me. No one's called me. I haven't had any problems. What I said was perfectly legal.
Well, and, just think about it, Alex. This contract, this terms of service that we both saw and Stan has read, is pretty much boilerplate. And every one of these providers that we can see has this kind of language.
Yes.
And so using this, if all of them were to enforce it, if all the big carriers were to enforce it, we would effectively be denied our right to speech.
And why can't... there's no stopping point to this, yes.
Yeah.
The terms that they put in are essentially, if you... there are so many terms, and there's so,
yeah,
and so many of the terms. There's three things. There's so many terms: racist, you know, animist, irritating the animals, you know, bothering goldfish, you know, embarrassing us in front of the neighbors, you know. There's so many terms. So many of the terms that they use don't even mean anything specific, and. Even behind that, underneath that, they're on so many levels. They have stuff that just, you know, if it bothers anybody else, if it embarrasses us, if it interferes with our corporate business. I mean, good luck. You can see them in court over that, and nothing would stand, because basically they're saying they can get rid of you for whatever reason they want. They don't even need a reason.
And who here in our movement has the money? Which one of us listening tonight has the money and resources to fund a lawyer to go after a First Amendment lawsuit?
Well,
the only people who are doing that are these rich Jews who do it for the blacks and the Mexicans and all
the thing
that.
Is, Cable
that's,
Bay,
that's all they're doing.
I'm pretty darn close to 100% sure if Cable Bay pursued it, they could get their service turned on without VNN, I don't think, I from what I know of this, and I've been through it many times, maybe 10 to a dozen times, they would be forced by the court to turn the service back on for the non-VNN sites. I think they would probably find that they were within their rights to shut down VNN based on their terms of service. So that's my guess. If you want to take the other and try to get them to prove racist criteria, whatever, that's a very long way around the bar.
Yeah, that'd be horribly expensive.
But here's my point. We moved up the ladder. We moved from the page. We moved to the server co-located. That means it's the server is physically located at some guy's unit, and you're renting your portion of it. You're leasing it. Went from that to owning the computer. To people who weren't going to cut us for content, physically possessing it, hooking the and only needing the T1 to hook the internet. So now, if the fucking backbone of the internet can toss TOS and /TOSS white national sites off the internet for content, then effectively free speech on the internet is technically dead, because who can't they apply that to? Which you know, ultimately everybody's going to trace through one of the main backbones of it, and if they just keep calling up the ladder, which one isn't going to fold? And what does that mean? That means that eventually the only thing that might be left on the internet, even in the one nation where you have a little bit of formal legal freedom, the United States, all you're going to have left is gelding sites like Amrent, where they never name the Jew. They encourage everyone to whine and complain and point out symptoms, but they never name the source of the problem. And we're seeing the same thing at the BNP in Britain, where Lou Barnes, who I know they'd always run his stuff at, National Alliance or National Vanguard, is saying overtly that you know, Israeli, the Jews in Israel are big heroes, and we ought to look at them as an example. And he and Jared Taylor deliberately play down the Jews' role in subverting immigration policy and undermining every nationalism but their own. And so that's a sign of how the people are increasingly going to appear who appear to be white nationalists but are bought off, exactly the same model they use to infiltrate and destroy, subvert, and in fact reverse the meaning of conservatism. They'll do exactly the same thing with white nationalism, and most people are too dumb to pick up on it. So that's why it's our duty to shout louder than ever, more louder than ever, to insist upon the difference between us and Jerry's kids over at Amren and Slick Nick's the wall-eyed homo over at BNP. Oh, they're making great inroads, are they? Huh. For what? You know, they're pro-Jew.
Yeah.
They don't see any race.
Well, it certainly is a vindication. You know, really, where you run into friction, you know, that's a real indication that, you know, what you're saying has some sort of bearing. And I'm not aware of Amren ever being thrown off a server. Ever.
Amren will never be thrown off a server.
Yeah.
Because it's simply talking about blacks and it's not using any curse words. So you can complain till the end of time, you know, oh, four niggers raped a white girl, except you can't say nigger. And you can't say who set the laws that force these niggers on us and set the laws that base hiring and promotion on how you treat races other than your own, as long as you're white. And thereby encourage the covering up of this type of gang rape and this type of crime. So it's futile. What's not futile is naming the Jew, building organizations to oppose the Jew, fighting the Jew, and ending the Jew as a threat to our race for all time. That's a road other people have gone down at different times, and they've gone down it successfully. And not one of them did it by talking about Jews in code. Now, what other problem in life? If we had a big garbage problem, where you know the garbage men were deliberately creating problems. For whatever reason, the garbage men's union was deliberately only picking up a third of the trash and, you know, dumping another third of it around the thing and throwing another third on the lawn. And we were supposed to talk about it as though, you know, well, you can't ever use the word garbage men or garbage men's union in discussing why this problem arose. And we're supposed to spend all of our time talking about, you know, flies that were attracted or cats who are eating the tuna and stray dogs who are rummaging through it and seagulls who are burrowing around. I mean, that's how fucking insane Jerry's kids' kosher racialism is, you see. And yet it's a gentle step from the last stone in the river, perhaps. It's easier for people because it seems nice and unthreatening, but often what's easy and unthreatening is wrong. We don't have a great deal of time to waste.
And so, yeah, they're coming after us because we're going directly to the heart of the problem. If we weren't a threat to them, they wouldn't bother with us. So, to some degree, we can take our bearings from their reaction to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when I said, you know, the killing of X, Y, and Z is, would amount to an act of liberation, hell yeah, it would. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
These clowns want to sit there and say, hey, you can't say that. You're not respecting my court. You know, well, who died and declared you boss of the universe? You know, that you say that white men can't speak about the crimes that coloreds are committing. He's basically saying, you know, that these four niggers who, you can't talk about these 10 niggers in California who gang raped this Mexican girl. You can't talk about these four niggers who raped this special needs retarded white girl. You can't talk about that here in Canada. You don't have the right to talk about it. I'm throwing you in jail for not respecting me when I say that you don't have the right to talk about it. You know? I mean, hey, you know, I had an international relations professor and Gaddafi drew the line of death across the sea north of Libya. I forget what it's called. But he said, you know, they do something like that and you allow it to stand. Over time, it becomes de facto law. Who died and left the Jews fucking in control? Who let them define what people are allowed to say and how they're allowed to live and where they have to send their kids? And I'm not willing to give in to their dictatorship. I don't accept their right to rule my community, and I certainly don't accept their right to speak for it. The slimy hypocrites. It's not little Jew brats being raped. Jew brats are over there writing hate lyrics on bombs provided out of your and my tax money to go bomb people who are simply trying to protect themselves. And when they do, you know, they're hiding behind. Hey, give them some fucking F-15s and let them get out there and fly and fight it out. You think they want to be hiding underground? They don't get $3 billion assistance a year like these fucking kikes over in Israel.
Yeah.
And this is what's great, man. It's killing them because everybody in the world, even the faggots at Fox, have to sense that everyone can see how vicious and brutal the Israelis are. I hope this war goes on for weeks. I mean, because I know it's just Jews Jewing Jewily in the eye of the whole world. Even if they try not to cover the result of it, they still, the photos of the dead babies still get out, thanks to us and lots of other sites. And you know, you see what a vicious, brutal people they are, and how little respect they have. Even that's an example. They don't have any respect for non-Jews. And why would they? I mean, if you're the goddamn Israeli embassy, it's like you have a you know, it's like a birthright to appear on the main news channel and dictate to these conservatives. And I mean, my God, you see them leading them around. You know, they had a Gillerman showing that ugly bitch Van Susteren around the UN. I mean, my God, he did everything but pat her on the head and feed her a fish. I mean, you're like, you fucking little kids. I mean, the adults come off, you got to love them. I mean, they just come off, they do their thing. They go, oh, yeah, we're very disturbed about the dead, those poor dead kids. We certainly didn't attend. And they do it day after fucking day after fucking day. Today they blew up an ambulance trying to get out of a road they'd already pockmarked with bombs. Tomorrow they just blew the fuck out of four UN. Oh, they didn't know they were there. Big X. I mean, they do it time after goddamn time. It's a microcosm of the whole 20th century. The kikes get everybody into wars. And then, you know, sit back and they reap the fruits of it, and they just tell, you know, they tell lie after lie after lie. They kill innocent people Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they come out with the same, oh, we are very sorry. We certainly never intended to shoot these innocent babies / ambulance / you know, old folks home / temp / mosque / whatever. It's the same boilerplate every day, and the kind of path of, you know, they kind of spew this to one of the whichever Fox blonde faces on there, and they just gulp it up. And how many people they got to kill before they get the idea that, yeah, they're doing it on purpose? Of course they are.
You know, William Lind, I'll throw in his name. Hope everyone's reading this guy. He said long ago when this war started, a week or two ago, that Hezbollah was winning. And it really appears so. And I saw some, you know, talking head on NPR today saying the same thing. And, you know, as long as Hezbollah stands, Israel loses. And it's the same thing for us, folks. As long as we're able to stand, we win. Because it really is. It's that kind of a calculation. We're really a guerrilla movement, folks.
And yeah, and you know what? What we do doesn't even have to be good because it's simply the truth. I think what we do is pretty good. And, of course, we always try to get more and better people. I had a new guy contact me in the last couple of days who's hopefully will provide some good commentary. We run some Mike O'Meara stuff, interesting on European nationalism. We're doing the best we can. You take and download these MP3s in particular, and once they're downloaded, they're forever. And all you really need is 1 hour of good commentary to tell you what's up with the Jews, and it will be, if you're not into politics or whatever, your friend isn't, eventually, when people do get interested in politics, when politics gets interested in them, you just slip them a few truth sessions, and they get it. It's not really hard to understand. I mean, with the Jews require a little bit of education. Anyone can see that niggers are a problem, anyone who lives around them. But Jews, it takes a little bit of education, but it's really not that hard either. So, but yeah.
As long as we stand, we can win.
Well, the Hezbollah, I think right? the key there is that the fish in the sea was Mao's metaphor, and the thing is, the people, even though they're bombed out and there's something like 800,000 refugees, they support Hezbollah. They don't like the stuff being destroyed, but they recognize, like, look, they ain't doing this for a joke. And Hezbollah has built itself up in these people's heads by helping them. It provides a great deal of social help for these people. It provides them a network. It's like a church and a political group and a paramilitary group, because it has elected representatives, it has a social help organization just like the German nationalists did, and it's got a military wing. But, and you know, they fight the way girls have to fight. I mean, there may be only 5,000-6,000 Hezbollah, I think they're saying, but, and maybe a few hundred of them are dead, as the Israelis saying, or maybe less than that, as Hezbollah is saying now. But they have to recede when superior firepower advances on them, as the Jews are doing today. But it's very clear that once Israel withdraws, they'll just come right back in like the tide, like Mao said. That's because the people are fundamentally, even if they didn't like Hezbollah, they hate Israel 100 times worse. And even the morons at Fox, they understand that, some of them, but they don't really ever hint at it. You know, no matter who, if Israel kills them, I mean, you ought to make a musical out of it. I don't know, you know, what music you'd use, but, you know, if Israel kills them, they're terrorists. Doesn't matter who it is. Babies can be terrorists too. You know, people trying to escape from the country can be terrorists too. And you know, that's so Jewish. I mean, you shoot up the roads, you shoot up the airport, you shoot out the TV station, and then when the people try to get away and can't, and then they bunker down, then you claim that the military is hiding behind the civilians. So they try to have it every possible way. That's just the nature of being Jewish. Very aggressive. You saw the thing I posted last night. But
this Alex from Germany, he gave me a call that I interviewed on the Truth There's No Defense broadcast.
Yes, I heard that. It was great.
And he was commenting about, you know, he couldn't really understand, why is it that you people get taken off the air like you do? I mean, he understands that in Germany why that would happen, but, you know, he knows we have the First Amendment here. And then he went on to explain some of these right-wing parties over there in Germany. They have their own team of lawyers. Mm-hmm. They have their own social networks. And when someone in their party gets in trouble, they have these lawyers go defend them at no cost. And,
yeah, well,
you know, it really is. It really shows just how stunted the movement here is.
I studied in Germany, and it that was one of the things that really impressed me was honestly, my epiphany was Germans are not Americans speaking German.
They're not.
Different. You see, and that sounds so dumb to say it, but that really was a big realization. They're not Americans who just happen to live in a different place and speak a different. They're different people. They're Germans, and they're more organized than Americans are in many ways. And see, I would go and eat at the Mensa or the mess hall, and I was in Marburg, which is super left wing. But, you know, I was more or less learning the language. I wasn't really heavy into the studies. But, you know, you go in, and outside would be tables laden with literature, almost all of it left-wing DKP, German Communist Party, or other stuff. And, man, they're not interested in debating. They've already picked mm-hmm. sides, and they're ready to fucking do battle. And that's just in general how German. I was amazed that we beat them in a war. And I fucking guarantee if they'd only fought us, or they'd had anywhere near the number of people we do, we would have lost. and it wouldn't have been close. Just because you can tell that the Americans are plenty tough, and they're good-hearted, and they're willing to fight, and they're willing to be trained. But I mean, it's just a different sort of a people and a mentality, and that's reflected today. Even when they have the stronger legal suppressions, maybe it's just more. America's more, Germany's more like a family, or at least it was in the past. I know they're being flooded with immigrants, like everywhere, but it's more of a family-type feeling, whereas in America, it's more individualist, so that everybody's, you know, you want to get more money than other people and get ahead of them, because then you're more respected. It's not so much like that in Europe, and these are very crude things I'm trying to get across, but they're true. And so, here, you know, everyone wants to be their little anthill Führer, and it doesn't lead to anything. You see, so the battle becomes for white nationalists that you have to collect good men and get them doing what they're able to do, and you have to swallow the eagle. It's got to disappear, and you have to focus on getting ahead, and as much as you can, exercise good character and not criticize others who are trying to do the same thing in their own way, and collect people who see it the way you do and can control, harness their ego, or control it, or suppress it, and sublimate it into productive activity. And we have succeeded in doing that at Vienna, and that's why we've been able to have stuff, new stuff every day for pretty much the last 6 years. With a little bit of time off here and there, but pretty much every day. And that's the education part of it. But of course, that's only the first couple of steps to where we need to be. But we just get such a bang for the buck on the internet. The dissemination power is so great that other forms of media are basically worthless short of owning a TV station.
Mm-hmm. Well, make what you want out of this, but I believe those newspapers from Canada saying we were just about ready to break into the top 10,000 again. And certainly the downloads in the last two GOI fires were just tremendous.
I don't know. I haven't looked at Alexa in years. My guess is they're just not to undercut us at all. I'm sure we have plenty of readers. Journalists are just dumb and lazy. They would go to that ADL. They wouldn't have any idea when some of that stuff is written or if it was true in the first place. They just fucking recite what they say. See, I'm not into. I could go. Oh yeah, dude. We are way high. I don't know where we are. I know that we have a lot of intelligent people who read what we have to say, and I know what I want to read, and I know that there aren't that many writers that really interest me, and there's not a whole lot of sites I like to go to, because most of them pull punches, they're boring, or I already know what they're going to say. We have some good stuff for people, and we encourage them to come by, and I really like doing this radio, and I'm thankful you guys came along and set it up, and that's what we need, other people to come in with their talents and help us expand what we're doing. And part of that includes lawyers and money and the ability to fight these things off and sue some of these clowns. And you know what? It goes two ways, Worman. If you can come across our border and fuck with us, we can go over your border and fuck with you.
Yeah.
And you know, if we have any Phoebes or anything listening, we don't mean physically. I mean that there are people in Canada who are fighting the good fight in terms of free speech and trying to liberate Canada in that sense over there. There's no reason we can't go help them. Maybe put your name up on the lawsuit block.
There you go.
So keep that in mind, Dick.
Richard.
But,
yeah, we have some other people that want to call in here. You want to field a few calls?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, we'll try this one out first. This is Baby Cakes from the Forum. She's been working a fundraiser for the Campbell family, among other things. She was visited by Johnny Law for distribution of the White Patriot Leader.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can connect her up here. She's got a somewhat slow connection. We'll see if this works. Hello?
Hey. Hey, guys. Yeah.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are y'all doing tonight?
Very good.
Yep.
Very good. What's been happening on your end of things?
Well, there must be something in the water. I mean, gee, Winneke's gone to jail. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hear you fine.
There's a bit of a lag, I'm afraid.
You have your feet on. Turn your feet off.
That
way you can hear us better.
Well,
turn your radio off.
Okay. There, is that better?
Yes. Can you hear
okay,
us?
Good. Oh,
okay.
Bright and clear as ever.
Okay.
Well, as I was saying, you know, when Nikki went to prison and then VNN had its little incident with being pulled and all that, and, you know, the rumors on some news stories on the internet are that Alex was visited by the police, but obviously Alex said that was not true. And I tend to believe him because I had an interesting experience with my Johnny Lawman down here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where to start? There's so many issues to discuss, you know, all the fun in Israel and Lebanon and...
Yeah.
Anyway, a pizza man came to my door one night. I ordered a pizza. Yeah. Mm. And
that's
sometimes, I know it's rough. Well, yeah. You know, possible terrorist activity.
Did you get ham on the pizza? That might have tipped them
you
off.
You know, well, I think the pepperoni was probably not kosher.
Okay.
That might have done it. And so occasionally if a delivery person comes to my door, if they look like a white family guy who might be receptive to our message, occasionally I'll hand them a newspaper and say, hey, would you like a paper? You know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so I did with this guy. We had a perfectly fine, polite interaction. I paid for the pizza. I tipped him well, handed him a paper. He graciously accepted it. I did say, would you like any more for friends or family? He said, no, thanks. And he had a smile on his face, seemed perfectly fine. That was it.
Huh.
Well, I believe it was the next day, a sheriff's deputy knocked on my door. I guess I shouldn't have opened the door, or should have at least had my pocket tape recorder running.
Right.
So, sheriff says, has a black lady been around here? A black lady was coming up here, things of that nature. A black lady knocked on your door. I said, no, I haven't seen a black lady around here. He said, well, there were some pest control people in your apartment who saw a newspaper. I said, really? There's absolutely no evidence that any pest control has been done in this apartment in the last 6 months or so.
Hello. The person you're trying to reach is not here at the moment. Give you a message after the tone.
Still with us?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. And so I didn't know. Honestly, I did not know what the guy was talking about. Sound cliche. No black woman had been around. There's certainly no evidence any pest control has been, you know, around. You know, there's no evidence anyone's been in here or anything like that. But it was a good story, though. Some pest control niggers might have seen some white literature, Confederate T-shirts, memorabilia, that sort of thing. And, you know, they might have gotten their little feelings hurt, you know, and complained or something. But none of that happened. So I thought of choosing the five words, but, you know, if I had at the time, I think it might have made the officer more suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not have been a good idea.
Right.
So he figured I was an innocent lamb. And I said, am I in any trouble? Have I done anything illegal? Am I going to be arrested? And he said, no. I just wanted to make sure you weren't going to do anything crazy. So apparently what happened is Pizza Man, by coincidence, lives in the same apartment complex. Pizza Man was apparently frightened or upset or disturbed by the White Patriot Leader newspaper. So he runs to the apartment complex management, one of whom happens to be a Negress, and turned that newspaper into the principal of the elementary school.
Oh, man.
And so the crazy, violent Nazi who lives in apartment 323 got a visit from the sheriff to make sure I wasn't crazy. And it was funny because the deputy even asked, does anyone else live here? I said, no, just me and my dog. But obviously I wasn't distributing these papers in my apartment complex or violating any laws or anything wrong, you know, nothing like that. So I did, I figured out, I called the management office because I was a little bit baffled, you know. And I said to the first gal who answered, who was white, what is going on? I'm not used to visits by the sheriff's department. A sheriff's deputy was up here about a black lady coming around, blah, blah, blah. And so they connected me with the woman who took the complaint. And at first they said, oh, he must have gotten the wrong person. He must have knocked on the wrong door. So the woman who actually took the complaint, and the sheriff did say that a black lady complained. The gal who took the complaint was a white gal also, and she said, in very hushed, solemn, and grave tones, "Did you order a pizza from Papa John's last night?" And I said, "Yeah, sure did." She said, "Well, there was something about a newspaper." And I said, "I have my First Amendment rights to read what I want, to think what I want, and if someone voluntarily accepts a newspaper from me, who's an adult, that is between me and them, and it's no one's business what I read or what other consenting adults supposedly accept from me," in a very gracious manner. He voluntarily accepted that paper, and I went on to say, "I have no criminal record whatsoever, you know, no arrest record, etc. I've never had any problems with my neighbors, you know, all that good stuff." And so that's the last of it, but I did call the Papa John's where Pizza Wigger works also, and complained to them and told them that as a customer, I felt I was treated quite wrongly. And I emphasized over and over again that this individual voluntarily and quite graciously accepted that newspaper, and I didn't think it merited a call to the sheriff. So my plan is, after I get out of here, I'm probably going to go, you know, visit the sheriff's department and find out what the report said and all. But anyway, it's a bit silly, but I do realize that niggers don't understand the First Amendment or free speech, that it was not designed just to protect popular speech. Anything that might offend a Negro or a Jew should, of course, in this country be shut down, shut up, destroyed. Any thoughts we have, words we say, should be prosecuted for them. But anyway, so that's the deal. It's no big deal, but it is. Oh, go ahead, Stan.
Actually, it is a big deal. I mean, this is what it's coming to. This is what Alex was talking about earlier. You know, this illusion of free speech is exactly that. It's an illusion. Yeah, like if you'd handed that guy what they call chick tract, which is those religious pamphlets.
Oh, hey, yesterday I came home and found a Jehovah's Witness tract stuffed in my door.
Okay.
Now, I haven't called the sheriff about that, but perhaps I should have.
Yeah, maybe you should.
No?
Yeah. What's good for one's good for the other, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. And I handed this out on a voluntary basis to someone whom I thought was an adult. Right. Who agreed to take it, and that apparently I guess I'm some horrible Nazi. But now, not to sound too paranoid, every time I leave the store, brother, I turn on that pocket tape recorder in case I'm accosted by the Jew across the hall or the Negress in management, you know, just to make sure.
Good idea.
That
should be a
standard protocol for all white nationalists.
Absolutely.
Yeah, at least have one available so you can take it with you.
Yep.
Oh, man, I've even packed up my computer, my laptop, and I don't leave it in this apartment. All my white nationalist literature, anything, any Confederate memorabilia, CDs, I've moved them to an undisclosed location.
There you go.
Ooh.
All right.
Little Miss Badass, huh? But anyway.
That's what it's come to in America.
You know, it's pathetic. Yep. And a nice acquaintance from VNN and I are going to do another distro this weekend. But I certainly don't want pest control niggers or management coming in my apartment on some pretext and, you know, bothering my stuff.
Aren't they supposed to give you a 24-hour notice before coming in?
Yes, Sister Kim in the background. But, now, actually, I looked at the lease and it was like, management can come into your apartment at a reasonable hour for any reason, blah, blah, blah. That's okay. It's all out of here. I'm clean as a whistle. I mean, I always have been.
Right.
You know, I don't have anything illegal in my apartment at all, ever. Or anywhere I live.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I'm very careful to maintain that. So.
But still, I do believe that, you know, renters' rights dictate that you are to be given 24 hours notice on any non-emergency.
Yeah, well, see, I don't believe there was any kind of visit into my apartment.
Okay.
I really don't believe that. I believe that pest control story was a story made up by the manager to get the police over here. That I can only imagine what she said, but after I get out of here, I'm going to go down there and see what the report says, what was said about me. Because, you know, if someone makes, I don't know, let's say criminal accusations falsely, they could be prosecuted for that, you know.
Right.
And obviously, I mean, it's blatantly obvious to us that what you read in the privacy of your own domicile is really no one's business. It's certainly not management's business.
Yeah.
It's not pest control business. It's no one's business. And it certainly doesn't merit a visit from the sheriff's department.
And by saying they came into your house and did pest control, they just might have screwed themselves because they gave you no notice.
Exactly.
Right.
They may have by making up that story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially if you have a pet.
Hmm.
I do have a little pet, and if
yeah.
they come in for any kind of maintenance...
around with your pet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to let you know, put your dogs up or whatever. They usually, we're coming around for maintenance, that sort of thing. None of that happened.
Mm.
The black chick was lying, and she's never been to my door.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with another white nationalist friend, and he said, you know, they might be afraid of you.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I'm this horrible, yeah. violent Nazi. Oh, my
yeah.
God. Well, at least I've got some street cred.
Yeah, there you go. How many papers can you lay claim to in your distributions now at this point?
Well, just on stuff that I've personally handed out, not
mm-hmm.
other things that I've participated in other ways. Well, we did almost 600 a couple weeks ago, and
wow.
we got another close to 600 put out. But I gave 100 to the Power Honky the other week in Kennesaw.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, you were explaining that on the forum before it went down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like a very interesting gentleman.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and I'm hoping if a certain white nationalist filmmaker comes to Georgia in August that we can get some footage of the Power Honky.
Very good.
Yeah. Let's see, what else is going on here?
Can you let us in on the Campbell situation?
Yeah, exactly. I talked with Lori Campbell the other day, and she sounded really happy.
Okay.
What has happened, because of the VNN support and so many wonderful people, even some who could ill afford it, and I'm going to mention the name on the air, Joe Sixpack, who has a pregnant wife, contributed all the generosity of all these wonderful guys, helped put literally a roof over the heads of those five white Aryan racially aware kids. His father passed away a few months ago. It got them through a rough time, and the VA benefits, the widow's pension, that's going to kick in really soon, and
okay.
it helped them move to a better place. So I hope all VNNers who did that can please pat yourselves on the back, because actually, you know, that's participating in, you know, the philosophy of the Volkskammerschaft of helping
yeah.
each other, helping our own community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the folks who did that. And, you know, as I said, there's some who could ill afford it, but they went ahead and did it anyway. And they're five white Aryan racially aware children who have been raised in a decent home who benefited from the VNNers who contributed.
Way to go.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Very
excellent.
Good.
Well, thanks for leading the charge on that. That's kind of like we were talking about earlier. I mean, not to make a horrible comparison to the evil terrorists, but that's what gets people over their... Now, the incredible fear of a grown adult white male in the South, of all places,
yeah.
over, oh my gosh, a newspaper. He's the adult kindergartner, so I shouldn't be reading this. I'm being bad.
Mm-hmm.
And this mentality
local
is
Negroes.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Tell
them the evil not.
Go run to the authority. The authority will tell you what to think, what to do. And the only way to get people past that is if they have real problems to help them with and become a credible source in the community, and that's the way to do it. So great work.
Well,
yep.
thanks, and thank you for what you're doing, and I wish you the best of luck with getting that forum back up. I've really missed
it's being worked on right now. There's more there, but I can't really talk about it, but it should be up pretty quick.
That's
due to other people we've got who are technically able, who've come along. So each person has to do what he or she can do, and that's how it works.
May I, in closing, give Thomas Vanicki's address so we can all send him cards and letters and support?
Sure, yeah, and we should, I need to send him something myself, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thomas Vanicki, and for those who don't know how to spell his name, it's T-O-M-A-S-Z, and Vanicki is W-I-N-N-I-C-K-I. He's at Elgin, E-L-G-I-N, dash, Middlesex
mm-hmm.
Detention Center, 711 Exeter Road, and that's E-X-E-T-E-R.
Middlesex Detention Center.
Mm-hmm. Elgin, dash, Middlesex Detention Center.
Yeah.
711 Exeter Road.
E-X.
London, E-X-E-T-E-R.
Exeter Road.
Okay.
In Ontario, N as a Nancy. Oh, I'm sorry, I should have said N as a nigger. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. N, 6,
N as in tune.
Yeah.
So N, 6,
1, L, 3.
Read that again, because I think I messed it up.
N6E.
N6E.
1L3.
1L3. This is that funky English way of doing it. Canada. The English-Canadian way of doing it.
That's Thomas Beneke, Elgin Middlesex Detention Center, 711 Exeter Road, London, Ontario, N6E, 1L3, Canada.
Okay, that's London, Ontario. London City in Canada and Ontario Prov. Mm-hmm. Well, what am I saying?
Where those nice Jewish people try to intervene.
Am I losing my mind? Is Ontario a province?
Ontario.
It's not a province, is it?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's like a state.
I thought Ontario was a city. Is it Ontario?
Ontario.
O-N-T-A-R-I-O. But
yeah, it's Ontario,
Ontario,
right?
Ontario.
Oh, okay, all right. We'll use your southern pronunciation of it.
Okay.
But London is a city in Canada, and that's one of the most hateful report on the most laughably biased report I've seen so far on Winicky, and my statement was
that's
from
appalling.
Their clown paper.
And also, obviously, it's appalling that VNN got pulled for whatever reason and that foreign officials could come and intervene in an American's free speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too happy about that. I certainly probably need to send you something to help support the efforts to get the forum back up. So we'll be in touch. And
We've appreciated your support in the past.
Thanks.
And let me tell you, people listening, she has done a lot.
Yeah.
And that's despite me attacking women quite a bit of the time and saying they should stay out of politics. But
we
appreciate
your support.
Hey, that you know, and see, if I say that's very Hezbollah-like of you, that the Jews, Linda wants to develop his own Hezbollah here in the U.S. Well, you know what? They developed
the sheriff, Alex.
They developed this social help. Those women there are running all kinds of things up to and including the media, Al Manar, that the Jews are trying to take off the air, just like they're trying to take our operations off the air for the exact same reason. We represent the real normal people there.
Yeah.
They call us haters just the way they call them terrorists. I'm not saying they're good guys. I know the Lebanese down in Australia gang rape white women. I don't like that. I don't support their culture. But I understand, and so far as they're fighting the Jew, I understand exactly what they're doing and why, and it's perfectly legitimate in their own country.
Well, if their own homelands weren't being raped by Israel, maybe they'd stay there and not come and bother our lot.
Well, yeah. The Jews weren't controlling it and letting the Jews are the ones letting the lezies or the Lebs, as they call them in Australia, that I call them the Hezies, they're the ones letting these people in, just like they're letting them in here, and then they grow a big community up in Dearborn, and then the Jews go out to their rallies and start getting worried. Well,
hey,
we've been suffering blowback for 40 years now on immigration, so it's good to see
the
Jews suffer.
Start suffering.
Oh, that's when it becomes a problem.
Okay.
It's only
the Muslims.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, and I don't. Non-racist sites much, but I did, just for entertainment value, take a peek at Horowitz's site, and you know, that thing is all Israel all the time. It's Jews, Israel. You cannot be a good American by the definition of those Jews like Horowitz and the neocons. You cannot be a good American by definition without being unconditionally supportive of Israel. The mantra of our age by the neocon media is all Israel all the time, and Israel can do no wrong.
You're absolutely right, and Horowitz and some other Jew he doesn't like were on there debating, you know, pro and con on like Hamas on Hannity's show, you know. So you got a Jew representing the Arab side of the equation.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what it is, the Jew's always the expert. He sets the questions and the agenda. He provides his lackey provides the moderator, and then he has both sides of the so-called debate. And I'd like to make the point that other women can look to you as an example. That there is room for women to be involved in this stuff, very definitely. I just sometimes get angry hyperbole. I like to exaggerate things to make a point. And when you have a democracy and you're letting everybody and its pet vote, and it comes to take on a very female feel, not least because women are slightly larger majority and they have to be appealed to, and everything becomes, oh, it's got to be safe. Why do you really need to say that? It's not very nice. It's hurting people's feelings. Well, yeah, I'm talking about this girl being gang raped by these foreign niggers.
and how the so-called civil rights laws prevent us from doing anything about it, and who's responsible for those laws. No, it's not very nice. That's why that kind of politics really isn't for women, you know?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I noticed in my career, and you know what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed all these gals, especially the ones in graduate school, they have their websites up, their little, you know, clubs, mm-hmm. institutions, organizations, and they're all against guns. Well, you know, that is absolutely baffling why any woman, especially a white woman on this earth, would be against the right to carry or guns. It's insane. How in the world would they rather be, would they rather be raped in a parking lot by a gang of niggers on their way home from work than carry a gun and maybe defend themselves and prevent that kind of garbage? Who do they think is going to protect them? If they're
not taking
responsibility, protect themselves, then they can't expect the government or the cops to protect them from Shimalinga and Jamal.
That's right.
And that disgusts me about my own profession. And all these gals with graduate degrees who preach the multi-cult, even though they don't live that way, they preach whatever they're required to advance in their careers in graduate school and become professors. And it's absolutely insane. And I don't understand how any female, any white female, could be against self-defense, how any white woman in her reasonably right mind in this day and age cannot realize that the white male values, founding fathers' values, that actually protected us. I mean, even Woodrow Wilson said, but not to digress, that if it weren't for the Klan in the Deep South after the Civil War, the white population down here would have been raped, robbed, murdered to death, and wiped out. So, I got news for you, feminist. Jamal ain't your buddy.
Nope. Boy, you would think it would be impossible to believe that, even given the strongest propaganda. And let me tell you, after a couple years off from TV and then seeing it again, I mean, it just every single ad. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm watching, I'm going, here's this nigger couple sitting in their beautiful, you know, home overlooking, you know, some kind of lake retreat. And the female nigger is reading Architectural Digest. Now, you know, I'd like to see I'd like to rent their list of subscribers and see how many recognizably African female names read Architectural Digest. I bet it's probably about between 0 and 4.
It's because all those negresses are actually reading The Ring of the Nibelungenlied, don't you know?
Well, they have a busy reading agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and this goes on and on and on and on and on, and every single thing on TV shows blacks is serious, capable, respectable. I'm so deep in this. I don't know how this strikes other people who are not white nationalists at this point. But to me, it's do they just look at it and kind of laugh, or do they, but evidently a large portion of them believe that's reality. They produce so many. I mean, the latest thing I saw, I almost puked when I saw it, was some middle-aged white woman leaning on that ugly nigger Cuba Gooding Jr. going, "There's something very seductive about feeling protected."
Oh.
It was like
I saw that too. Oh,
it was
God.
Like if the Driving Miss Daisy, except it's more like Screwing Miss Daisy. And I want to say in my own defense, I never watched that film. I just know what it's about. But I mean, God damn it! They're trying to take every little sector of society and convince it that the nigger is its best friend, when it's the reverse of the truth. It's like TV is one giant science fiction channel.
Well, I've got a YouTube.
And the ads are the worst of all.
I got a YouTube post I'm going to put on VNN as soon as I'm able to of what a real nigger is like.
there's now that YouTube floating. I think Little Geneva drove it. For those of you who love Jibu, you probably don't like me that much, so maybe you aren't listening. But Little Geneva has some, Southern Unreconstructed, We Love the Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. It's got some good commentary. I haven't read it in a while, but I think they're the ones who dug that up, just to give them a little plug, dug up the tape of Nelson Mandela dancing around, singing the song, the ANC song, probably written by a Jew, about how we all want to kill all the white men in South Africa. And that's on YouTube. That's what
I don't care how nice the local nigger is at the grocery store. That's exactly what happens when niggers reach critical mass among whites, or any non-white people.
Yeah, which is about 10%. Once they're more than about 10-12%, I mean, they have measured that and found that once a neighborhood hits about this amount, it begins to change, at least in white perception, and they start moving out.
because
you know, they say, "Oh, I'm not a racist, but we want a better school."
Sure.
I'm sick of hearing people say, "I'm not a racist, but."
You know what it is? They just don't have the character to adopt any value that they perceive goes against the mainstream, because that requires character, and they don't have character. They simply have midlines like fish that allow them to follow along and sense when others are turning, and then they turn, and they don't know why. I completely believe that. Did you say, no, you're not? Yeah, you're moving to get away from coons and live among humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel sorry. I was reading something. I think it was on, I loaded it up on VNN, I believe, about Prince George's County. I don't know, those of you listening may be familiar. It's a city, it's just north of the District of Columbia, and a lot of blacks who have affirmative action federal jobs have enough money to move up there and thereby despoil that area.
Oh, big time.
And I knew people around there who whites, it used to be more white working class or even almost rural, believe it or not, even around D.C. And this is about this couple, a story from the Washington Post about a couple moving in there from Baltimore. To this area, and now they want to expose their kids to diversity. Well, it's like throwing your kids in the lion cage.
Yeah.
The girl I knew who was from around there, you know, she said her brother got harassed every single day. I believe that's some kind of magnet school around there where they have, you know, a minority of whites try to attract them because it's a semi-decent school, but they have a whole bunch of coloreds. And you don't want your kids around nigger. That's not helping them. You got to be totally delusional to believe that.
Gee, are you sure about that, Mr. Lander?
From what I've seen in the world, blacks are filthy, nasty. They cannot even speak like humans.
No, listen, I can't argue with that. Obviously.
You listen to them actually walking around. I even more than visual evidence, if you listen to them, and they all have that kind of James Brown. They're not really, they can't really enunciate.
You know, the honkies, if I may call them honkies, in that article, they obviously didn't go to school with a bunch of niggers. They bought all the propaganda, and they
sure
think diversity is wonderful. They're putting their kids into this.
Yeah.
My hope that their kids will turn out to be some of the last men standing, so to speak, on this earth. You know, by experience, I'd rather their kids not have to experience that. But these white parents might get a real lesson.
Mm.
Yeah, well, they...
their children.
It seemed to me, reading between the lines, the guy was none too enthusiastic, but, you know, he's going to follow the woman around while she endangers his kids in the middle of all these niggers when they got enough money that they could go. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, people may not realize I went out there after college and worked there for a while. People may not realize, and D.C. is very liberal, very Jewy. Baltimore, you got D.C. and Baltimore about, what are they apart, maybe 80 miles, something, 60 miles, I don't know, but they're two basically black hell holes of violence and what have you.
Mm.
And D.C.'s got a nice quarter, and then it's got some rich suburbs around the northwestern quadrant of it, and Baltimore's just purely niggers, at least most of it.
Camden,
too. And see, this whole area is filling in. In fact, the whole East Coast is filling in. There's just so many people in this country now, and there's so many mystery meats now. There's all the Asians, and there's all the Muslims, and there's all the Pakistanis, and what have you. And this crud. I went back to Germantown a couple summers ago, and it's got to be 50% bigger than when I lived there last decade. I mean, it almost wasn't recognizable coming off 270. But we're talking about the counties around here as it expands. But my point is, you get out in the country, you still got rural Southern America. It's just like here in Missouri in a lot of ways, except even more southern than this part of Missouri. But it's kind of these two cultures colliding. And my point is, this clown could move out towards Frederick, or he could move out somewhere else where it would be white and safe, and even Durwood or something. And, you know, he chooses to go immerse himself in the destructed element.
Well, hopefully he's a dictator, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The woman is God. I mean, that's another thing TV teaches. A woman is always right. You know, and the man is foolish, weak. He's always deferring to the woman. And that's just become, I don't know when that became a middle class pattern, but, man, and I don't believe women ought to have, you know, carpets thrown over their heads and be beaten. But, I mean, if the pendulum has gone so far in the wrong direction, it's not even funny. I don't want women thinking up political ideas. Because I know what that's going to mean. It's going to mean you have to follow the prescribed agenda, and you're not allowed to deviate in any way, shape, or form from it.
Oh,
that's how most women think that way. A minority of them doesn't, but
Don't go out without your coat on. Don't say things that are nice. Be safe. Mm. Well, you can't achieve something if you're trying to be safe a lot of times. You have to go beyond what you know. How can you become what you are if you don't go beyond, you know, the little few little things that you know? You got to test yourself. You don't get stronger by lifting the same weight or weaker weights. You have to lift stronger weights. And they're right for their own sphere, but their sphere really isn't in politics. They can influence their husbands, and their husbands can influence the politics if you're going to have some kind of voting system. But
right.
Look how the founders set it up. You know, it's not just that they didn't allow niggers to vote. That's just self-evidently correct. But they didn't let women vote. They didn't let men vote, most of them. They only let you vote if you were established, you had money, and you were, it was
property.
Clear that you were,
that
yeah, you had to have property to prove that you were stable, at least mentally stable enough, you could form a family and be a pillar in the community. Those are the only people you want voting, if you're going to have any voting at all. You know, you don't vote on who heads a corporation. You don't vote on who makes the big leagues. I mean, there's a natural hierarchy of talent, and it asserts itself. And what we have now is that a portion of people with the ability to take over the hierarchy have interposed a whole huge layer of feminists, coloreds, et cetera, that are essentially feasting off white society, just like, you know, ants bringing down some kind of little mammal or something and eating it alive.
Right.
Exactly.
And they don't want anything interfering with that.
And notice how all the politicians have to line up to please all these voting blocks that they know are massive, like the women and the coloreds. I mean, to hell with the white man. They all know he's probably going to vote, you know, Republican, so they've already got that vote, so to hell with him.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is, okay, abortion rights and affirmative action and voting rights. They're geared
yeah.
now towards pleasing the lowest common denominator, and they know the poor white man's going to have to vote for somebody, probably Republican now, you know, so they've already got that. They don't worry about that. They don't care. The two major parties are now vying for the colored, the non-white immigrants, and the women who are so concerned about what their little pocketbooks, you know, and, oh my God, can I get an abortion or whatever? You know, that's a whole other can of worms, but because they figure they've already pocketed the white man's vote in one sense or the other, they're going after all these quote-unquote minority groups, and it's not helping our Constitution, which has pretty much been shredded.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
Bush is out there talking to the NAACP.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As we did discuss that on One Koi Fire. You know,
talking
he's telling you.
Manganese.
yeah. Racism is a giant problem in American society. We have a long way to go. But.
Well, I think what's going to happen, once this is over and Bush is out of office, if anything negative for Israel or Jews or this country comes out of this wonderful administration that we've been living under, what they're going to do is turn around and say, that white male Protestant in the White House did all this.
Mm-hmm.
That's who's responsible.
Yeah.
Or what's in all of them will turn on him and say, you know, that white Protestant honky did all this. That's
yeah, they'll never take blame for the failed war. I'm still waiting to see if they can get us into Lebanon. I don't think they can, but maybe Syria and Iran. But
yeah,
what can you say except keep your people out of the military?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Well, we have some other callers lined up.
Hey, thanks for letting me flap my gums, guys. It was great talking to y'all.
Thanks for coming on, telling your stories, and raising the money for the people,
yes.
And distributing the paper and everything. I mean, you're an exemplary member of the greater VNN family that we're trying to put together here, and this is how it takes. I mean, look at the people who fought the Jews. Look at how they've done it in the past, and you'll find your success models. And
yep,
and
well,
great work.
Thanks so much.
And you're a good
lot.
Example of that. So,
Sig Heil brothers, take care. Have a good night.
All right,
you too.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Well.
Hey, did we lose Jeff there? We're going to try to get him back. Is
yeah,
he still around? Or
we did lose him. I believe he's done for
I was sad I was off. I want to thank Theseus for calling in. I had loaded that one article he was referring to. That certainly bears talking about. It was very. I didn't track down exactly what the provenance of that curious thing was about the growing anti-Semitism. I wanted to hear him say more about that because he kind of indicated he was involved in some.
Maybe he'll call in again.
Similar research.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it sounds like good news. I just don't know what I'd like to think that we had a little bit of an effect of spreading. And I swear, I really believe, Stan, it's tone as much as anything.
Yes.
You see, that's why I've always focused on the horse laugh more than the footnote.
Right.
When I look at the kike, I see something to laugh at.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be purely something to laugh at if it wasn't an overt threat.
Right.
And let's talk. We could talk about Mel Gibson a little bit.
Yeah.
And how irritated we all are that, you know, I wrote on DNN Bottle Heart, and then I insulted his ethnicity and his religion. Does that make me a bad guy? No.
No.
It doesn't.
No, if anything, calls him out to maybe join us.
Well, look, the guy heard it from his father. Like he said, my father never lied to me. Okay, well, why are you a big pussy then? If you have fuck you money to say fuck you to God himself, why are you afraid to say it to some stupid cop? Or he wasn't afraid to say it to the cop. Why are you afraid to back it up
when
you're sober in public?
Yeah.
And that goddamn lingering Jebuism in him that gets him every time because it works on their conscience. Hey, you did something bad, if you want to call it bad. And remember what Shakespeare said, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so.
Yep.
Maybe you don't feel that's right, maybe you feel it's wrong, but either way, you're only moving in one direction, that's forward. The Jews are absolutely shameless. I posted that review of Jay Moore, the comedian's book last night, in his 2 years at SNL and how things work. He says the best stuff doesn't always get in the air. There are plenty of other things, other criteria that might determine why a particular piece ran or didn't run. And point is, the Jews get there by being pushy and by being obnoxious and by... The Jews never admit guilt about anything. Okay?
Right.
So you want to sit there and feel guilty and, oh, I shouldn't have said this, I'm a bad... Hey, they'll take advantage of it. They'll march you out there. They'll slap one of their ugly hats on your head. They'll tell you to bend over and put your hands on the wall and start pretending to weep. And then they'll march you past their stupid groves and their list of all the people that they claim were assassinated at this, that, or the other... Roach Motel in Poland, and you know they'll make you they'll probably make you dance the hora and film you while you're doing it, and they probably laugh at that privately the way Hitler's supposed to have laughed at his enemy strung up on piano wire, which I've read wasn't true. But don't be a fool. You know he had he had more than $50 million. I think he used about $50 million to make The Passion. It netted about $1 billion when everything was thrown in,
right?
Or at least it netted several hundred million. I think it was pretty close to $1 billion, though.
Yeah.
So you have the money to tell him to fuck off. You don't need Jew actors. You sure don't need Jew directors.
That's
you
true.
Don't need Jew producers. The only thing you might need would be Jew distribution. You already found a way around that last time by sending the film to churches.
Right.
Yeah. And so you, if anyone, have an almost unparalleled ability to create an alternative distribution network through which the truth and we ain't it, whether you're religious or not, the facts about what Jews did are the facts. So yeah. God damn it, put out some money, get some screenwriters, and let's start getting some treatments of the real Holocaust.
There we go.
And let's start featuring the Jew role prominently, not suppressed the way you did in The Passion.
Right.
Tell the truth about what Jews did. There is no story on earth more important than what Jews have done to humankind.
That's right.
Over the last 2,000 years, and that is torture it. They haven't merely pestered it and been an irritating, you know, sort of conscience to the world. They have been its persecutors, its rapists, its murderers, its besetters, its pesterers, its jipers.
Yep.
It's kind of an invented word, but it's something in between a poke and a punch.
I got you.
And, you know, they're always jiping you with dickishness.
Yep.
And when four niggers rape a white girl, Jews have destroyed white self-identification. They've given special penalties to whites who fight back. That's the end result. They knew it was the end result going in. They desired it. Therefore, they intend our genocide.
Right.
Okay, that's a bald statement, and it's true. It's true. It's absolutely true. They want your daughter to be gang raped by niggers. They laugh at it.
Yep.
They like it. It's good for Jews. It makes those whites a little humbler, those jerks. All those frat boys and military officers who called me, treated me like Screech, Saved by the Bell. Now I'm getting back at them because, look, their daughter's raped. Jews are very vicious, hateful, vengeful people.
Yes, they are.
That really is probably a large key to their success because they don't forget things they don't want. They can't forget things because they're little. Only big people can forget things because they got other stuff to do. The Jew doesn't have anything else to do. He's a Jew. What's he going to do? Create a beautiful work of art? Where is it? The walls of the Louvre do not record it.
Right.
The Jew's the guy who took a crap in the corner and called it performance art.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the fucking kike for you. And that just recalled to mind the other example I was going to use of Jewish art extends to portraying Negroes as dignified people on their televits. You know, they show, oh, there's something with a great soul is trapped inside this huge brick of clay or whatever, and they show some she-nigger whittling away and freeing the great artwork inside. You know all the great... hey, Phineas. Wasn't Phineas a great sculptor? Now this is black reason. Now, Phineas be starting with the P and the H, motherfucker. That ain't black. What is it?
Oh, shit.
I mean, that shit had to be African, man. They done stole that from the goddamn Sub-Saharan, motherfucker. I mean... Was the thinker clutching a watermelon? Is it me? I mean, come on.
Let's see what Orion 14 has to say about some of this. Let's bring him in here. He's been holding for a while here.
All right, bring him on.
All right.
You next. Sorry, Orion. Not buying it.
Orion 14. Come in, Orion 14.
I'm here.
You're live on VNNB.
Okay.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
That's good.
What can we
do? Hold on a second. Let me cut this off. Here we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Turn your radio down. Dan?
Yeah, off now.
Dan, we got to give a little more context
to what
people are supposed to do because I don't even realize myself half the time.
Okay.
All right. You can hear us talking. What's your take of the modern situation here? Do you angry at Goy Fly because you don't have enough strippers and lesbians on the show? Is that your particular beat?
Oh, Robin, I can barely hear you guys here, but I'll try to work through it. I don't know if coming behind Beta Kicks, that's such a good caller, man. I don't know if I can stand up to that.
All right. If you're bad, we'll know it. And spare us the disclaimers. You lead with your strongest shot there, buddy.
Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you, what do you guys have planned to prevent things like this from happening in the future? The VNN being just yanked like that. And not in detail. You don't have to give details, but I'm just wondering, do you guys have any plans or anything in the works to prevent like that going on?
Oh, I just got a message. To the extent we have plans, well, like I said, it's something that not a whole hell of a lot can be done about beyond owning as much as you possibly can of the servers and the telecom stuff up as high as you can, as close as you can to the backbone. And that's my point is, last time I didn't think could be touched. So they've established kind of a new level of dictatorship. What you can do is have redundancy. You can have mirrors to the system, and you can have you can distribute what you're doing across different computers. And of course,
yeah,
we're examining all options. But beyond that, what you can do is sue them. That's something where you have to be raising money and starting lawsuits is something where you have to be very careful about what you do. And it would help if we had more sympathetic lawyers, if we had a legal defense fund, we just need more quality people to organize stuff like that. Otherwise, it's simply easier just to restart up, find a new server, and start up on it. But the simple answer is there's not that much that can truly be done because we're not going to moderate our message in any way. We're going to use every bit of the First Amendment. You have to use all your rights and keep pushing for more rights. Rights that they took away from you that you don't have right now. So we're not going to in any way moderate our message. That's the one thing that would secure our staying up. If they're not trying to mess with us, then we aren't doing the job right. So
yeah.
The sad fact is there's not a hell of a lot that can be done. But one other thing that can be done, if anybody who knows of any T1 suppliers or you know of phone companies who will not kick people off for content, get in touch with us. You can also try to have lawyers direct devise contracts that specifically allow you certain content. These are more creative ways, but again, it comes down to knowing different things and redundancy is a good part of it. I mean, there's no reason people can't mirror the VNN server. And we're aware of quite a number of servers at the moment, and we always encourage people to tell us more. And just resilience more than anything. We won't give up. We will not be pressured off the air, absolutely.
I hear you. 100%
guaranteed. But the simple fact is, people are cowards. They're scared of the Jews. The Jews are a bunch of anonymous fucks, and they've brainwashed so many people. They even have their little lackeys who do it for free, are willing to hassle people that they call haters, because they believe in the liberal insanity that of equality, and they don't want us. Richard Warman doesn't want us on the air telling you about four niggers gang raping a white girl, which is something you're not going to find out about otherwise, because the news sources that are the only ones he wants on the air in Canada will never tell you that kind of thing. They'll tell you about the allegations about the white Duke students, but they'll hide the rest of it. And, you know, certain homosexuals get a real pleasure out of destroying ordinary white society, and they really go along with the Jews. They wear canned glove or
yeah.
Dick in sleeve. So,
yeah, I agree.
I don't know that Warman's a homo, but very often homos act the way he has acted.
I've found that most of the people that are on human rights boards and you know that they're into the human rights thing and all this and or the anti-racist, they tend to be straight out homosexuals or at least bisexuals, you know. It's kind of amazing.
Well, but, you know, whites are encouraged to accept a submissive posture and accept that you're slaves, accept that you're gelded, and we have a couple models for you to follow. You can be a passive, you can be a homosexual, you can be a pussy-whipped middle-class man who promotes minorities in order to ensure he gets a little tiny piece of the pie, or you can be a wigger. And beyond that, we don't have any role for the strong white patriarch who founds a family and who is the pillar of the community. We don't have a need for that. We have a need for liberal faggots and sissies.
Yep, that's the thing.
To the extent there's any white masculinity left, it's completely channeled to support Israel, even when Israel is at war with your own people. And I see all these Germans, people like me who are German descended primarily, like most of America, going over there to die for the fucking Kyrgyzstan. It makes me want to puke. Okay, a puke. Here's another thing you can do. And you know what? Your question is blunt, and it cuts through my laughter and turns it into anger, because there's not a hell of a lot I can do, and it fucking pisses me off. It pisses me off that we reached such a state due to the stupidity of our own ancestors and also the generosity and just not being hateful the way Jews are. Really, it's our own nature. We shouldn't really accept any blame for it, okay, that we treated Jews fairly. Maybe some of us didn't know what they were. I'm not going to get overly blame my ancestors the way some faggot like Jared Taylor does. Or some bottling like Lou Barnes. I'm going to say, look, we made a mistake, but unlike Jared Taylor, I'm going to say, to some extent, we had a role, but Jared's conclusion is, so we can't do anything about it now. We can't correct any mistake. Because we let the Jews in and treat them as individuals, we are responsible. Well, okay, well, what's the next step, Jared? We don't do anything about it? We have to live with a horrible mistake that gets white girls gang raped by niggers? We can't do anything about it? Oh, you don't have to do anything about the Jews, just the nigger. Well, go try it. The Jews are the ones who pass the goddamn laws that prevent you from going out and lynching those little nigger bastards.
You know what?
The Jews are the ones who pass those fucking laws. So the other thing we can do, let me just say part two, and then you can run.
Sure.
You do the local thing. You set up a local blog. And let me tell you, if people don't like me here in Kirksville, they're going to... I'm not saying they don't. I speak for the community far more than the kikes and the bought preachers that they may have here. Well, what you do is you set up a blog that's got your local town on it, and you start jujitsuing the local liberal news. You see, so then you have an immediate way to tell people all politics is local. You can tell the locals what's actually going on. And that will also help you meet people. VNN we can do globally, but it's harder to meet people. But in your own area, you can actually meet people off your blog. Now, this is theory. I haven't started it yet. But I have started it yet. It's not developed yet. But this is what anybody can do. You don't have to be a journalist.
Yeah.
Just take VNN's principles and apply them to your own area. Believe me, the Jews will provide you the news.
I think that's a good strategy, you know. And when you're spread out and diverse, and I hate to use that word, you know,
yeah,
diverse out there.
Perfectly fine word.
Yeah.
Diversified, yeah.
Yeah, and you know they can't do anything to you. I mean they can, you know, they can knock out one in one area and we're still going. And that's the way I'm looking at the network. You know, what I would think is that, you know, maybe you get a team together and say, okay, let's design the VNN network, you know, for multiple sites, multiple providers. How are we going to do this? You know, maybe we can use some offshore providers because they can't fuck with nobody on in offshore.
You know what? That's a good point that I forgot to add. So you start with a diversity. You get different servers. And what you do, like right here, I'll say, you know, if VNN is down, you go to VNN Forum. You go to Sunlit Heights. You go to goyfire.com. You go to thearianalternative.com. You go to alexlinder.com. I own alexlinder.com.org.net. You go to kirksvilletoday.com. You go to kirksvilleforum.com. Okay, we own all kinds of URLs. And what you're saying is right. I'd forgotten that, but you're absolutely right. Great call. I mean, you go to a fucking offshore. Ultimately, some chink who doesn't care what you put in his server. Some Russian who doesn't care. You go to someone in Ulaanbaatar.
Yeah.
And they have let me tell you, they got a lot of local talent in Ulaanbaatar.
Yeah.
I don't mind telling you, they're not quite white. It's kind of a mystery meat. But you know what? There's other people in the world than fucking kite-controlled U.S. where you can run servers out of. And they don't care if you criticize those bastards.
Yeah, they don't give a shit, you know. I mean, just run them out of Korea or anywhere. And, you know, it's a global struggle anyway, you know. And we get people that will host that site, you know. It's just so much the better. But the main thing is, I think, you know, if you had a team together, that, you know, it would say, okay, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to design it. And then we go out and, you know, we got the plan. Then we go out and see how we're going to fund it. Because it does cost money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It costs money. Like, I got two servers here that I want to put online and mirror the site. I got two 1650, two Dell 1650s. I want to throw them in a data center. And I want to, you know, be able to mirror the site, and I'll pay for that, but, you know.
Don't give away anything you don't need to. Just, yeah, exactly. That's what it takes. If you, what I'm saying, and when I say we're going to revise the form a little bit, I mean, people, you got to understand. I don't like people begging for money, so I don't really do it, and I don't need that much money. But you got to understand how many people are working on stuff, you know, next to their full-time job.
But see, that's
the fucking cost on a lot of people in terms of time and whatever to do the stuff. So it's not fucking chattering. So we can't have any. If you want to bullshit, it's going to interfere with our moving ahead. It's. I've decided personally, it's too late. I've tried my model for years in the forum, and we're going to have free speech in terms of ideas, but we're not allowing, even among white end, just more bullshit chatter that really doesn't produce. It doesn't move things in a direction.
Yeah.
We don't have time to fuck around anymore. So
I agree with you. I agree with that. And, you know, I mean, I think the problem is that people don't understand how many people work in the background, and they don't understand that, you know, what's going on. And somehow we got to get some kind of funding going, you know. And I know we have some lawyers. I know we have some attorneys that actually post on VNN Forum that would know how to write some stuff up like that, so that we could throw, you know, start pulling money, and people could actually start, if they wanted to get paid, like, you know, Stan, I think Stan and you and people like that should get paid. If other people who don't want to, you know, if they want to take a salary or not, that's fine, you know, but if they just want to put in their own time and their own money like I do, that's not a problem. But, you know, I mean, still, I think we need, because, you know, money speaks, money talks, money's power. You know,
you're exactly right. It is done loosely and kind of ad hoc and informally, which in many ways doesn't make it less powerful. But, you know, we need, there's so many things we need that my mind kind of, I was always a guy who would run on sentence. I try to put everything into one sentence. But my point is, you have people who start to feel, we have to create our own. Again, if I say Hezbollah, then they, oh, Linder says you have to create a terrorist organization. My point is, the Hezbollah, you know, as opposed to Hezbollah, as I'm going to start calling them, over there in Kyrgyzstan, that's funded out of a terrorist state funded out of our pocket. Well, if they can all have terrorist states, then I can have my own goddamn terrorist state. You know, Israel's a fucking terrorist state. You know, but that means helping our own people, like Baby Cakes is talking about. Then you can go to them, you help white people. Well, who are you fucking helping? You know, Where were you after Katrina? Well, we don't have that good of an organization, man, but we do a little bit on the internet now and then. You know, so it has to grow, and there's a lot of money, a lot of technical people with telecom or people who own an ISP. If you own an ISP and you're sympathetic, get in touch. If you own telecom service supplier, get in touch. Whatever you have, I would like it needs to become kind of more formalized and on a number of fronts, like a white help organization that can help white people, and from there you begin to build up on every other front.
Exactly, but you know, like, and this stuff, like you said, you know, you don't want to go.
Defense organization, you know.
Exactly, a defense fund, you know.
What the ADL can defend Jews, I say it's defending Jews, but really attack whites. But we can't defend ourselves. Sure, we can.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. It's urgent that we do.
But that's what we need to do, because right now we're just kind of, you know, we're just kind of spinning our wheels in the sand, it's. You know, the time's getting short, and pretty soon we're not going to be able to even talk about this in public anymore. I think that time's, we're going to be another Canada pretty soon. And, you know, unless we do something, and, you know, I really think the radio part of this and, you know, video, that's really critical, you know, to get stuff out, because in this day and age, you know, sure, there's people that read, but a lot more people like to watch and listen to stuff. And I just think that's really important to get that out and get it front and center. And I think it is. But, you know, if we had a team working on it, you know, that could share ideas and formulate a strategy and stuff, then
well,
it would be good.
I agree. We do have a team of sorts. I mean, we have people who feel the same way with different technical verbal abilities, and they combine as they have the time and means to do to provide a view of the world that you can't get other places. But the point is, that's not enough.
Yeah.
And it absolutely must be a collective effort, because individually we will be picked apart. We will have the laws clamped down on us to totally prevent our speaking, and we will have our communities just swallowed up in the shit fondue. It is multicultural America.
I agree. Well,
and so, yeah, I agree. Let's come together and let's form a plan, and let's. We need different arms. We need a media outreach arm that spreads the word primarily through the internet, but also by other means. This radio, I think, is effective, because once it's created and downloaded, it's there forever. It can't get lost off the damn disk like stuff used to in the past. That's why we went to a blog, because it's easier to preserve, and they can be popped up and put down more easily than the HTML. And I realize not everything is back up on our site, but we're working on that. And yeah, if there's people out there of goodwill, let's eventually, we can get together even physically and plan something out that has all these different arms and provide a formal white self-defense organization. I really think almost you have to start with some lawyers, because... in America, that's just how it is. To really fight, you need lawyers and money, because it's such a lawsuit happy society, and so much of white self defense is legal involved, or they start going after you the minute you're trying to do anything.
That's right, and the Jews just laugh, you know, because they know that we're so impotent, because you know money is power. Money is, you know, I mean you got to have money to do things, you know, and. They just laugh, and they do this stuff because they know they can fuck with us, and they, you know, and they can get away with it. And just like David Irvin, you know, I mean, that guy, he did a really good job of defending himself in court, but you know, he really didn't have the money to hire a lawyer and all this other stuff. And you know, it's just
and even there, I mean, they're suing him under some law that didn't exist when he broke it.
Yeah,
that principle. I don't know about German countries, but. Hell, English common law, you know, that just goes back to German tribes. Someone can't be guilty of something passed after the fact.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. But apparently, under special Jewish rules, they can do whatever they want, and you can do whatever they allow you, which is primarily to, you know, serve them with tax money and soldiers' blood.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you people want a different order of things, you have to join in with us somehow, and it has to get beyond... You know, me putting on the rubber nose and playing the clown, and it can't just be entertainment. I'm not doing this. I'm doing it in the entertainment form because it's entertaining, but that ain't the bottom point of it. The bottom point is this country is getting pretty fucked. I don't see how anyone can look around and deny that. I mean, people are, you know, a grown woman hands a man a paper and he's fucking embarrassed, and he's so, not embarrassed, he's so scared of a newspaper that he runs. I mean, these aren't humans, they're white rabbits.
And that's the South. You know, and
that's the South, for Christ's sake. That's not the Northeast or the you know,
California,
the nice Midwest. That's not Minnesota or something.
Yeah. It's, you know, we just gotta. But you know, if we can get together, you got good people. So you know, you got Stan, you got Jeff, you got Chain, you got these people, and I know on the technical side, I can work with Jeff and Stan, and we can get some other people in, and you know, we can start doing this. I can. You know, I'll be glad to throw these two servers in a data center. Let Stan log in it, configure it, and get it going. You know, and then I'll pay for it. I'll pay for bandwidth and all that.
That sounds like a great contribution on your part, and that would be very helpful. And I don't want you to say any more than what you've said about that. That's you speak the rest with Stan and with
I will do that with
other people. And that's exactly what needs to be done. The greater redundancy there is in systems, the less incentive these day laborers have to waste their time coming after white men who are trying to save their own damn families from the horrors perpetrated against us by the Jews and their homos and their other lackey criminals.
Mm-hmm.
You know I really do want to reinforce let's send the letters out to Winicky. Okay, that stuff started on our forum, and it's Canada's fault. In no way is it our fault. And let's remind Tom that we support him and what he's saying, and we're not backing off at all. And we're completely remembering him. And what it represents is an honest white man trying to tell the truth about his society. And they want to call that against the law? No. We're not wrong. You're wrong.
I tell you, when Winicky comes out of this, he's going to be a stronger person, and he's going to he is entitled to some leadership in the so-called movement now, because he's been through this, and you know, I think it's adversity makes us stronger, and that's unfortunately, you know, you have to go through that. But
I think the probably the best we can do right now is encourage some of the people in Canada who are working on the free speech to perhaps develop closer relations with them.
Yeah.
And because, you know, we have evidence, like I said, of a woman being devious dick and sneaking around, and I mean just being small, which I think is very characteristic of anti-racists.
These
small sniveling deviant types who can't stand to see a white man speaking his mind. You know, we're not going to be wiggers. We aren't interested in the role that Jew-controlled America has for us.
That's right.
We refuse. We reject the role. We have our own idea of how the world's going to be shaped, and we're going to shape it. We're not giving in to Jewish pressure any more than Hezbollah or any other group of nationalists does. We are fighting for our people that you say it's hate to claim even exists. You're white, you're a hater. You're a hater. Jews think they can validate the minority, they think they alone can determine which group you can say you belong to and which groups are valid and which ones aren't. We reject that.
As long as
this country's headed.
As long as we've got white men like Alex Linder out there, and you know, and there's still hope, you know, that we get that.
Well, I thank you for saying that. I'm one person. I'm just simply speaking things that are obviously true, and plenty of people recognize it. What we need to do is bring in some, and I have limited talents. We need to bring in people with organizational skills in particular who can understand how, you know, this is how you build not really even a business but just simply an organization. We need to have an Aryan Defense League that can aggressively go out and put our message out, and it can counter the ADL's lies. It can defend people like Gibson when they speak the truth about Jews and to Jews, as long as they're willing to defend themselves. If they're not, then good riddance. If you knuckle under, good riddance. But we need to have a group that's out there advocating our interests, and it can't be any namby-pamby crap about, I don't like geographic names, where I'm not from Europe. You know, who created me may have been originally, but I'm not from Europe. It's the race that we're defending. It's not the place.
Right.
No weak, nothing urine-flavored.
And anything with a euro in it, I don't like. It's the wrong way to go. White, and in formal terms, Aryan is the way to go. Beautiful, high, noble. That's what we represent. Creative. Well, sparks.
I'm ready to pitch in for that, and you know,
well, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Oh, and I'd like you to speak with Stan.
I'll get in touch with Stan
the next couple of days. Because we come live when we can, but the more redundancy we have, the more secure we are, the more we can pop right back up.
Absolutely.
That's what it takes.
Yeah, that's what it takes.
We won't buckle, and as long as we have good people like you joining the fray, that can only encourage more good people. Listen to what we've had here today already, Stan, on the show.
Oh, yeah.
This guy says, I've got a couple computers. I'm willing to set them up as mirror servers. We've had a woman who has joined and led the fray to house a family. Right, that's had some problems, and has distributed a newspaper at some personal cost. Yeah, there's cost to this, but why do we always have to be self? Why does there have to be some self-help benefit? You know what? It's better than being a passive fucking spectator. Live your fucking life. Get out there and bite some of it, instead of being just fucking bitten all the time. Bite back, and we have a nation budding sort of a structure to do that. And there's many, many, many ways you can participate.
Yeah.
So let's grow it. Let's get an auxiliary unit that, you know, takes care of white problems, reaches out.
That's the way to do it, man. You know, we just got to do that. We can't, you know, we just can't. It's the way we've been doing it, and it's been going on for a long time, is that we just get our asses kicked, and it's time to start kicking some ass.
That's exactly right. Look at how those Israelis are doing. Even with all the American firepower, every possible human advantage, they're still... I saw those little suckers. I it may be going too far to call them soft, but I'll tell you what. And the look I saw on their face told me they didn't like it very much.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like walking over there and having somebody, Jesus, not like shooting a little baby in the nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like shooting a 10-year-old girl throwing a rock at me. I couldn't believe they were fighting back. It was so anti-Semitic of them. You know, not let us march through their land and, you know, rape their women and kill their... I couldn't believe it. I was really surprised. I thought that kind of anti-someone was gone from the world. Hey, fuck you. You only defend yourself when you're willing to die. That's what Solzhenitsyn said. Whites are not to that point yet, but they're going to get there. And they're going to get there mostly through seeing what the Jews do, but partly through agitation from people like us who say, this is what the fuck is going on, who have the credentials to know. We know what the system's like. We've been in it. We've seen it. We know the sources of the ideas that are scaring even our billionaires who are too gutless to back up their own people's interests because they sold out, just like that woman wrote in that one I posted. You know, you're letting your girls go on wild because, you know, whatever. It's just weak.
Yeah.
You need to refound on some kind of strong impulse, and that impulse is racial. It's not going to be goddamn Jebuism. Christianity is not going to resurge and protect the white race. Christianity always went after the scum, and that's where it's going now. And the scum is in Africa. And in the scum part of Asia, that's southern, southeastern Asia, okay, they're not going to come for white people. They don't give a fuck. Even the smartest Catholic intellectuals in this country love the Mexicans coming in here.
Yeah.
You know? They think, oh, you oppose them because they're Catholic. No one would care if they're Catholic. It's because they're Mexicans. Mexicans suck. You know, and so my point is only a racial revival, that's the fucking problem here. We want to live around white people. We don't want to live around niggers. I've lived around niggers. Probably you've lived around niggers. You see what niggers are like. They're loud. They're stupid. No one wants them around. We don't need to have them around. It's only the Jews telling us that we do. Yeah. Only the Jews saying, you're immoral. Whites give in to self-guilt. They give in to blaming themselves. And every authority structure tells them, oh, yeah, blame you. You're the problem. Racism is the problem. George fucking dumbass mouth-open Bush is telling you that, you know, he's stroking the coons. Oh, yeah, you're right. Racism is the... Fuck that. Niggers are the problem. If you think racism is bad, try niggers. Shit.
You're right, man.
Spitting and cursing, but... That's my little epigram. If you think racism is bad, try niggers.
Yeah.
If you think anti-Semitism is bad, try Jews. You know?
Yeah.
And it does help to reduce it to a slogan and a bumper sticker. I mean, that's where reality is debated at on Fox.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, they ask a question like I wrote. They ask a question about Iraq. You know, purportedly they're there to interview someone. So they ask a question, but before they're done, their voice overtakes them, and they go, oh, you want to cut and run, do you? You better cut and run. You're one of those cut and runners, aren't you?
I could smell it when you came into the studio. Oh, Cut and Run was all over you, boy. Like carrying in a vulture. I smelled it in your breath. You're one of those Cut and Runners. Yeah, like O'Reilly and double asshole Limbaugh and all the rest of them. Weren't so easy to see. They weren't on the airwaves making lots of noise back in Vietnam. They were elsewhere. We had other things to do. You know, as Dick Cheney said, what a bunch of despicable, hypocritic, Jew lackey fucks they are. And everyone listening to this knows I'm right about that. Everybody knows that's what the truth is.
That Cheney is dangerous, man. That's one dangerous guy. And he's not a Jew. You know what I mean? He's worse. He's a collaborator. You know, and he's in it for his own, for his, you know, for money, and you know, he's for like power.
That, he's like that rich guy on that movie They Live. You know, where they show up at the big wig dinner, and he's like that cigar puffing you know, guy. You know, hey, these guys are giving us, you know, an in here. You know, we got to play along, you know, and we'll all be sitting pretty.
Yeah.
No principles, no morals, man. Just power and wealth. That kind of people. Those kind of people, man, are the most. They're far dangerous than the Jews, because the Jews use those kind of people.
Yep.
And you remember when I don't know if you saw the Simpsons episode, but the one where Homer's in space and there's a he knocks over the ant thing, and the ants that they're doing the lab test on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they click. Kent Brockman, the studio, is like, I don't know what's happened, but it's very clear that the ants have taken over and are going to be our new leaders. And I just want to say, you're going to need a trusted member of the community to suck it up to the ants he thinks are taking over the earth.
I welcome our new ant
overlord. Yeah, there you got the line, man. I mean, it's just a classic, like that kiss fucking ass mentality that's on all the, oh, God, it's so loathsome. Every newscaster, you know. it drives me crazy.
I don't see how you can stand watching the news and stuff. I can't.
Well,
because I
hadn't watched it for a while. So when I had it, I never watched Fox News just because I fucking hated them so much. But when there's an actual war going on, it's a little bit more interesting. It's just so funny. I mean, there's such fuck. It reminds me of like a Saturday Night Live skit of the cheerleaders at the high school, because they're so. They all, to me, they're wearing pleats and waving pom poms. I mean, for Israel, and it just. You can see they don't see themselves. They really truly believe, like, no good person could possibly be opposed to Israel. Only terrorists would be opposed to Israel. And it just, reality doesn't crack them. They have this exoskeleton of desperate belief that they're right. And it's just like Sean Hannity. You can just, that's a class phenomenon. That's a bourgeois thing. They don't have internal criteria to make judgments, so they must go with what the crowd says. And the people that they think are right, that they get their opinions from without realizing, well, they're all saying Israel and the U.S. are the good guys, and just nothing can crack that. You're not going to get them with evidence. It's just like a roach. You know, either it's alive and running around and causing problems, or you step on it and it's dead. I mean, they can't, nothing can dawn on them or come over them or realization that the very best, this Iraq thing is not going too well. Now, you might get them to flip onto their, I'm not taking responsibility for that bad result. They might flip into that sector of their brain, but there's never, it's so cut and dried with that type. Totally cut and dried.
Yeah.
But, subject for another time, I suppose.
Right.
But yeah, they'll go right down the drain before they even fucking realize what's going on. Hey, you're totally hated. You're invaded by the rest of the world. That's thanks to the Jews that you fawn over. You realize that? Hey, your daughter just got, you know, while you were out leading the Christians for Israel rally, your daughter got gang raped by a bunch of goddamn niggers.
And
how do you feel now?
He'd probably forgive them. You know, he'd go there and forgive them.
Forgive you. Yeah, like that couple in I've said this 100 times, but that couple in St. Louis Zoo. Drunk nigger in a car runs over their 4-year-old kid and kills him. They fucking fell over themselves running over to fillet him and almost thank him for doing it. We forgive you. Yeah, niggers really want to be forgiven. Niggers don't give a flying fuck about things like being forgiven. You have to be evolved to feel something like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry I attacked that gazelle. I'd take it back if I could. You know, I mean, it's just they're not at that level. That's why you can't mix things that are just inherently immiscible, because they're different, you know. Hey, we'll wait here, niggers. Take a couple 100,000 years and try to evolve to our level, and then we'll check back with you. I mean, they're way behind us, man. They're not on our level. And to mix them together with us, it's sick. It's something that would very much appeal to a Jew's sense of social engineering and little else. No sane person would think of it. All the founders were against it.
Yeah.
But
look
who we got running the country now. Mm-hmm. Rem Ugly, I don't think that's Thomas Jefferson. Matt Farley playing the... They look like Bill Shakespeare to you. Well, Timmy's actually, we encourage his dreams of being a writer. He's all making fun of the kid. But I mean, look at the fucking clown we have now. We've gone from Jefferson and Adams and Washington to George W. fucking Bush.
Yeah, I'm
worried.
Look at that Secretary of State we got now.
Just seeing that, oh, man. Him, he was Cavuto was talking to him yesterday, and this is the kind of person these so-called. Oh, I got an interview with the president. See, it's so feminized. It's all about, well, I have Prada, whatever the fuck Prada makes. Do they make shoes or dresses or something? But you know, I have Prada shoes. You know, it's all. I got George Bush for an interview. What did he say? He said the same old shit he would always say. I mean, who cares who you have for an interview?
911. 911.
I can read.
War on Terror. 911.
Yeah.
Goat.
But, you know, he was practically jumping on his leg and humping him.
Oh,
don't you worry. You better just let him finish, Clark. That dog's got a little bit of mystic leg hound in him.
Well, hey, guys. I'm going to give the airtime back to y'all. And I really enjoyed talking with you, and hopefully some other people will call in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great to hear about the servers, and get in touch after or tomorrow or after the show, and I know Stan will...
We have
Stan.
Been emailing, so...
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
We'll get that going.
See, it can't be a one-man band, and plenty of people got plenty of talent, and we encourage you others to take the example of Baby Cakes, and did we give his name out on the air? We don't want to do that, do we?
Whom?
Whose name?
Yours.
Oh,
It's on 14.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that I wasn't sure which one we had used. Yeah, or of Orion 14 here, and there's a way for you to participate. I mean, your genocide is not a spectator sport, believe it or not. The future is not inevitable. You can decide to change things in your own life, yes, but also in the broader sphere. And the more control you have over your own life, the more you take control over your own life, the better you and more positive you feel about things. You can join with other people who feel the same way, and we can take the future from the Jews. They are not the ones controlling our future. We are the ones controlling our future.
And you know what? And you really, I mean, there's no better time than now with everything that's going on. Turn a lot of people on, because I know even people who claim to be anti-racist or anything like that, you know, you talk to them about, you know, Jews and 911 or what's going on now, they will listen. They will listen to you.
Yeah.
Then they'll start to come around, you know.
Yes.
You're
exactly right. I think, honestly, even apart from the race, you lead with the Israel stuff. There are huge swaths of America who think Israel, who would give the middle finger to Israel. It is far from, they portray, oh, U.S. on Israel's side. Fuck, I have an easier time with even my own relatives who, they may think this or that about politics, but, you know, they know you, so they're nice, so they may not feel the same way. But on Israel, a hell of a lot of people who are even liberal, even if they're not conservative, they agree about it, that Israel is a great goddamn problem. And just a drain on us in every possible way.
And it makes a great segue into other topics, you know.
Sure.
So it's
Hey, it's you just, think if Israel fucks up every other country in its own neighborhood, you think the Israelis in America would fuck up your neighborhood? With things like, you know, integration and claim it's a moral good and anyone opposed is evil? So I'm evil and Stan's evil and Orion here is evil because we don't want white girls raped by... gang raped by niggers. We're evil. Because we want to put in place laws to prevent that. We're evil. That's what these cunts tell us. Okay, that's what the Jews say. You know what? Unlike Mel Gibson, we don't apologize to Jews. They're going to fucking apologize to us.
I can't believe that guy did that.
Execute them. Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have.
He's got millions of dollars and he sits there and grovels in front of Jews. I don't understand that.
You know what? There's going to come a day when we are in control, and we're gonna make sure that we get Abe Foxman or his predecessor, whatever, on film. We're gonna get him telling the truth. about every single thing in the agenda, and that movie will run in perpetuity in the Museum of Jewish Crime. It will be housed in what is now the Holocaust Museum. You can
will it Ryan Yost produce it?
Yeah. It'll be damn good. Mm-hmm. It'll be damn good, and that's how the future is going to unfold.
Yeah.
The U.S. is not going to be majority minority. The U.S. will have fallen apart before that, and we will reclaim our own.
Yeah, I believe it's going to get worse, but we'll do it.
It's coming. You fucked up America, and we are the reaction that you've generated, and we are going to take control back from you. And you're not going to like it. You're not going to like a Nuremberg trial that's run to Aryan standards. That is not by laws that are suddenly made up out of the blue. We're just going to convict you under laws that are already existing, your own damn laws.
Exactly.
And you're not going to like that.
Yeah.
You're going to find it very unfortunate. So, you know, the future is what we imagine it to be and what we work for. And what us working for doesn't mean us couple two, three here. It means you too. It means all of us pulling together and creating stuff. You know what your talent is and what you can do. Come on in. Join us. We'll create something. There's 200 goddamn million white people, you know, and they're strong enough to get military training, go abroad and die for Israel. Why don't you die right here for white people? You don't even have to die. Okay?
Yep.
You know, you don't have to die. There's no active fight going on, but we expect you to speak, to stand up in public, to help provide technical ability to amplify our description of what's actually going on as opposed to what Fox News and the Jew conglomerates tell you. Okay, you can do that much. You know you can. And we can't demand any less of you. We're not here. It's not entertainment. It's a vital description of what's going on. If you wish to change it, hey, we're at the very least holding up. You want to die like this, like these shitheads have planned for you, you know, and have little bastard mulatto grandchildren? Is that the future you want? You know, with a fucking Jew vision telling you that black women are reading Architectural Digest? I mean, most niggers can't read goddamn Dr. Seuss, let alone Architectural Digest. Give me a break. Who's sentenced us to live in this fucking world where reality is flipped on TV? I mean, literally every second of the day, and this is the biggest thing in most people's heads.
Have you ever been in one of those advertising agencies, Alex?
Yeah, but I've been in the doors of them. I mean, I've been around the edges of that
Man.
Stuff when I was in media.
You know, when I was in the city in San Francisco, some of my clients were advertising agencies, and there were people that did advertising around the Bay and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the freakiest looking bunch of people you ever meet, man. You know, metal in their face and
sure.
Just, you know, it just... And you know, they're mongrels and all this other shit going on, and it's
many of them
and
are
those people are teaching your kids.
Sure they are.
Yeah.
They're drawn, many of them, from the strata I went to school with, and they're many of whom were from the Bay, and a lot of them are white liberals who are they have that, they believe the sick anti-factual religion of liberalism, and I've written part of a review of this based on a little monograph I got from a group out in D.C. about political correctness and its origins, and it's very they really discuss this at length. We know reality's not that way, but they give you reality the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
they were mocking that on American Dad. You know, Shudland. You know, Shudland gets its check. Shudland finally goes down to reality check tech. You know, but this is where these people live. They live in Shitland, and rules against observing reality are very strongly enforced. You're a hate criminal. And they really do. They are the actual haters. I mean, they fucking hate people who point out to them what is actually happening. I had direct personal experience with that. They are extremely vicious, hateful people. I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm extremely angry. I'm not hateful. I'm angry. I'm angry that, you know, you can have a white girl gang raped by a bunch of niggers, and there's no reports of it on ESPN or any other source, only in the local paper. These same groups that string up these white guys based on the word of some nigger whore.
You sit around
good
and talk
white
to these
guys.
You sit around and talk to these liberals and these
fucking ESPN
freaks. They they complain about I really love the diversity. I hate this white bread stuff, you know, and all this other. It's just, and they hate. That's because they hate.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you're right. You're right about that.
The funny thing is, too, they think they're like, they think they're being rebellious. They're rebelling against the system. Yeah, man, I'm having that white bread and conformity and Oh, yeah, you little tool. Go get your fucking little tattoo, you faggot. You know, get your, other people may not agree with me on the tattoos, but,
yeah, I hear you.
You know what I mean. What have I written before? I mean, the only, and I hate to refer to a really great source. I think it was me who said, the only real fucking rebellion is to be very damn good at something.
Yeah.
Because it's so damn hard. And it's not easy. And who is that? Someone wrote a great comment. I think it was Gracchus or someone on the thread about it. They're like, the Finland has a concept of Sisu or something. It's like, you know, I'm going to do what it takes to get the fucking job done. And that's part of, you know, devoting yourself and becoming really damn good. Maybe you're a carpenter. You know, I got a fucking great bookshelf that I got that some guy hand-built himself that I got for like $5. It's fucking, the guy soldered it or bolted it together. It's totally solid. It's totally stable. I can pay $5 for that the point's not the cost, but that it's so solidly constructed by someone who's doing it on his own versus some piece of shit Chinese plywood thing you can get at Walmart for $50. I mean, become good at doing something. That's your fucking independence and rebellion. TV is just, oh, anything you can buy or snort, inject into your vein, big fucking deal. Somebody's already done that. They fucked every orifice. There ain't nothing left. I mean, you're not, that doesn't make you wild and crazy guy to go out and fuck something or drink something. Oh, wow, yeah, you can do it. You know why it's so popular? Because anyone can do it. The point is, what can anyone not do?
Yeah.
They can't do something well, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where your excellence and your rebellion and your nonconformity. You're not conforming if you're good at something. Because the average person doesn't know the difference between lose and loose. And I'm not kidding you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen,
you're in your.
Well, you know, you can slide over shit.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to spell check it later, or check it yourself later. But, no, I mean, and cultures devolve extremely quickly. That distinction between loose and lose was nowhere screwed up until about maybe 2 years ago, and it incredibly quickly spread through just that you see it all the time, even from people who are otherwise seemingly pretty intelligent.
Right.
My point is, that's how society can devolve very quickly, because each generation has to be trained, and otherwise humanity is always going to slide back. If you start with a good stock, with whites and a good culture, old white culture, well, then you can actually get somewhere and preserve it. But when you start with niggers and you raise them up on rap, you ain't going to have a lot of people making fine verbal distinctions.
No.
You know, you're just going to get a bunch of fuck whitey, kill the cops, hip-hop shit.
Yep.
So, you know, you be good at something. That's your rebellion, if you want to be rebellious. You know, I don't know why people can't just see through that stuff, but they really go for affectations, they go for striking poses and attitudes. And here's another example of I quoted all the stuff in the Jay Moore book about all the Jews you ran into and how fucking, well, my conclusion that they're pretty fucking obnoxious, taking one with the other. But one of them was like, I don't think it's a Jew, it was Marissa Tomei, and she was all interested. He did a sketch. It was like I don't know what was it like. Spoofing one of those Good Morning shows. It was like Good Morning in Brooklyn. It was kind of making fun of it was Italian themed thing. And I guess she was all excited about doing it until she found out like he wasn't one of the starters. He was like one of the, what do they call it, like featured performers instead of a regular member of the cast. And then she just turned off on him. Well, that's the kind of asshole that there's just far too many of in America. And what's your station in life? You know, what kind of suit are you wearing? Can I talk to you? I don't know. I don't know what you're doing for my coolness points. And you've got to look for the quality in something, and you have to develop the ability to separate the real from the unreal, the pretentious from the merely fake, the artificial from the. I mean, you got to have some, you have to develop internal criteria for values, and that comes from, you got to have some kind of strength of character to set your code and to go by it and to separate the better from the worse. And these are the things that have bothered humanity for all times. But how come there's such a super excessive load of crap people today? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, we all know the answer to that. You know, so.
Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah, and
we open the borders to Mexico. You know.
Yeah.
That's one answer to it. We open the ghettos. We let them out of their inner cities, and we. Isn't it a hate crime, Jews, to force niggers to mix with all these racist whites? isn't civil rights really a hate crime? Yeah. Isn't it really a hate crime to force these Mexicans to come in here and mix with evil white people? I mean, isn't that about the most racist thing you could do when they were happily living on their own before without being oppressed
That's
by
right,
evil
yeah.
whites? Yeah, the Jews talk out of all four sides of their fucking mouth. I mean, nothing they say stands up to any kind of reasoned analysis. Everything they say goes one way for them and the other way for you. And you always get the short end of the stick with a kike. So don't any of you suckers out there listening join the military. You'd be a fool. So they'll ship you over to Iraq post-haste and you'll die just like the kid right up the street here. You know? Hi, I'm here to make you better tomorrow. Boom. Bye-bye. Sorry. You know, that. What do you get out of it? What do you get out of fighting for Israel? You get a pine box and a cheap Chinese-made flag and a bunch of morons standing around saluting you because they don't know any better. Well, we here do know better. You fight to defend real America, and that's what we here represent in spirit and in person. And through our growing ranks of people who understand the point of this nation, we understand who we are, and we understand that our enemy is the Jew, and we know why he hates us, and we know what he's trying to do for us, and we describe it to people. Okay? That's whatever future media has, that's where it is. It ain't in the recycled sitcoms, and even when they're funny, and you can tell I like a lot of the funny stuff, and even then, it's still completely infected with Jewish memes. And exactly the same as everything else. You know, you can very well believe they make fun of rednecks and white trash up in Canada, even while Winicky's in prison for speaking the truth about what black trash does in the streets of Toronto. That's the New World Order they have in store for us. And we aren't going to live in it.
Well, we're not going to. Definitely not.
So,
Alex, we've lost Orion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Orion, thanks for calling, and we very, very, very much appreciate the servers that you've acquired, and we really can use the redundancy, people, and even if it's only, it doesn't even have to be hosting a whole, literally a mirror of the site where you have everything that we have. It can be hosting some Goyfires or hosting a video of Craig Cobb's interviews or
right.
Byron's trailer or what have you.
Yep.
We all got to work together. It's that simple.
That's it.
All I can really promise you is that we will never give up.
Never.
I can't promise you that we won't be knocked down tomorrow. I can't. I mean, there's nothing really, truly that I can do about a lot of those things. But I can promise you that I control my own behavior, and we will get back up. If we're knocked down, we will get back up one more time than we're knocked down. I will guarantee you that.
That's it. Yep. Well, we're going to take a short break here. I got to go feed the porcelain god. And we'll roll.
What's he drinking these days?
Lemonade.
I hope it's not like President Bush there. Something I was saying they have set up
right.
a special waste disposal unit that would track him. They try to figure out what he's on.
Yeah.
He's on bad manners and Texas moron drugs.
Paxilated.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right, yeah. I'll give you a buzz.
I'll be back in a couple minutes, man.
All right, man.
All right.
I'll look for you. All right, VNNers, you're live on VNN Free Talk Live. And we just had Orion 14 on with us, great caller. And he's going to be doing his part for VNN. And we had Baby Cakes on, and she's doing her part for VNN and for the white race. And she's an excellent example to male and female of what we need to be doing to get our asses in gear. I'm going to roll a tune or two and take a short break, and we'll be right back with plenty more fun. We'll take more calls. We could be here all night. Who knows? Hang in there, and here's a little Led Zeppelin for you.